Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL.
At Illinois Wesleyan University, Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you at Tucci Stadium. Round one of the 6A playoffs for the Galesburg Silver Streaks, only the third time since 1991 and the first ever meeting with the pioneers of Normal University High School. And we are ready to kick things off at the turf, the field turf, here at Tucci Stadium. The Silver Streaks, of course, without Jonathan Mixon, as they have now been for just about half of the season. So they come in handicapped a little bit, lost three starters along the offensive line and out of the defensive linebacker spot last week. Had to recover from that. But they still make the playoffs. And the kickoff, a line drive down the middle of the field and taken at the 19-yard line. Returning upfield go the Silver Streaks across the 35 to the 38-yard line. And not bad field position for Galesburg behind sophomore quarterback Peyton Isaacson, who has started there all season long. This is a playoff game featuring two sophomore quarterbacks, but two very different offenses as well. We'll talk quite a bit about the Pioneers offense, but the Silver Streaks have it first. Christian Powers in at the fullback spot, replacing Mixon and Matt Kitch. Trevon Diggins, one of the wingbacks, along with Ben Holloway. And O'Brien Allens takes out of the tight end, lines up as a wideout as Diggins runs laterally, trying to get to the outside. A flag goes down as Diggins is stopped short, just short of the 40-yard line. And a flag comes down from the side to judge. He talks things over with the referee, and a penalty is not how Coach Tim Doherty wants to start his first playoff game at Galesburg High School with a hold.
Silver Streaks have had a few problems with penalties, especially in the second half of the season here. And in a playoff game, you can ill afford those. We didn't gain much right there, but we're going to lose 10 yards even in the process. I'm going to make a – and, you know, when you're Silver Streaks and you don't gain yards in big chunks for the most part anymore, you get set back even 5 yards, let alone 10 on a penalty. It makes it very tough to be able to pick up first down. So we'll see what Peyton Isaacson comes away with as he trots over to the sideline, as he always does between every play, and brings the Streaks up to the line now at about the 27.
This time Will Anderson, a wideout to the near side, as Ben Holloway goes in motion in the backfield. The handoff goes left as Diggins gets hit just across the line of scrimmage for a gain of maybe a yard. They're going to spot him up to the 30 for a gain of 2 on first down. The rest of the starters for the Silver Streaks offensively: Joe Newberry at left tackle, along with Robbie Dowers, one of the replacements on the offensive line at left guard. Manny Valdez has played all 9 games, now 10 games as the starting center. Gage Miller, the other replacement along the line at right guard, and Derek Brackett at right tackle for the Silver Streaks against a 4-man defensive line for United University High School. As a pitch goes into the backfield to Diggins, finds a little bit of a hole, and then it closes quickly as he dives forward close to the 35-yard line for a gain of 5 more. And the Silver Streaks already facing third and long as we get this game started. U-High's defense, definitely their strength. They've scored a lot of points, but you might argue that's because of the quality of competition they play. But defensively, we talked about in the pregame, the last 5 weeks, they have surrendered only 13 points all season, in those last 5 games, and 3 of them have been shutouts.
Well, you know, the first 4 weeks of the season, they were giving up well over 20 points a game. Yeah. But then the last 5 games, they have been lights out on D.
On third and 13. Hand off to the left. Holloway trying to get to the outside. Coughs up the ball. Scramble for it behind the line of scrimmage. And U-High saying that they have it. The official signal. Turnover against the Silver Streaks.
Well, our defense going to get tested early now with the ball at the Galesburg 31. So it looked as though we weren't going to be able to get the yardage for a first down. And the worst possible thing happened. We turned it over. And I would look for U-High to try and go for the quick strike here as they want to get out in front with their home crowd here at Illinois Wesleyan.
Behind Arian Worthman, the quarterback, a 5'10", 195-pound sophomore, so a solid kid. And they start with 4 wideouts typically. In fact, 3 line up to the near side, the home side of the field, with Worthman in the shotgun lining up next to him. getting the start tonight. Joe Johnson has been injured at times. He does get the swing pass to the outside, finds a hole across the 30, into the streak secondary, breaks the tackle down to the 14-yard line, actually at the 15-yard line. So just like that, a gain of 17 on the first play of the game on a simple little swing pass to the near side.
And that was Joe Johnson, their leading rusher. And, you know, you can get a lot of passing yardage. It may look like you've thrown the ball down the field a lot, but if you just dump it off and let your running back pick up those yards, that's exactly what the Pioneers did there, as they're a threat inside the 15 now.
A gain of 17 on the first play of the game and already in the red zone. Faking the handoff to the right side. This is Worthman trying to get to the outside. He's going for the corner, and he's got it. Practically untouched to the corner of the end zone. Two plays, 32 yards, and Uhigh spoiling Galesburg's first playoff appearance in a decade with a quick strike after a fumble recovery.
Worthman, as a quarterback, able to get out there quickly and turn that corner, and just not able to adjust, and that's part of their attack. He's run the ball 108 times coming into this game. He averages under 5 yards a carry, so he's not quite running back material, but he's still a threat coming out of that backfield. We found out how big a threat right there as he angled inside the pylon and gives Uhigh the lead.
Luke Otto is the kicker. But Uhigh is lining up to go for two here. 9:49 to go in the first quarter. We are just underway. And the Pioneers trying to turn a 6-0 lead into an 8-0 lead. Back to pass. Worthman with protection throws it toward the back of the end zone. Going up for it with one hand, but out of bounds. The catch was made, but the back judge standing right there said out of bounds, coming down with the catch in the back of the end zone.
Like Malik Wildermuth that time, one of the twins receiving core for this night's offense. And from here, it was tough to tell. I think he got 1 foot in possibly, but Ben Holloway was defending, and he crashed into the pads there at the base of the goalpost. It took the official a while to make up his mind.
So with 9:49 to go in the first quarter, Silver Streak's already down 6-0, and we've already gotten a good look at why this Uhigh team is so effective passing the ball. A little swing pass to the near side to the running back, who made a lot of yardage after the catch, and then what an arm Worthman showed on that throw to the back of the end zone.
Well, and these teams both have predominantly underclassmen in their backfield. Now, the Silver Streaks, because of course, the injury to Mixon and the loss of Kitch, so we're working with underclassmen with the exception of Diggins, but this Uhigh team's got to feel like they've got a pretty good shot of being back for a number of years with the sophomore quarterback, their leading running back, and two best receivers are both juniors. The only thing is, 4/5 of their line is all seniors, so they've got to replace the line next year. But if they can do that to some degree, Uhigh is going to be a problem for teams for several years down the road.
Coach Dusty Burke, in his fifth season as head coach of the Pioneers, has guided them to a 9-0 start. He was only 19-20 in the first 4 years, so he's definitely building a program as a kickoff taken by J.J. Range returned just across the 30-yard line from the 18. So, again, the Silver Streaks now try to play a little off defense by offense by trying to put together a fairly sustained drive, as Jim talked about with assistant coach Kelly Kane in the pregame show.
And you know, normal Uhigh is not overly big in the middle of the ball, but boy, on the ends of that line, they've got a couple of whoppers on the offensive end anyway. Mitch Wallen at 6'4", 320 on one side, and Jamal Scott, 5'11", 280 on the other side. So they've got some size.
Just underway in the first quarter. Streak's already down 6-0. Holloway avoids a tackle in the backfield. Pops to the outside. Gains a couple on first down. And it'll bring up 2nd and 8. Watching a couple of scores for you, but not many in playoff football tonight. Probably the main one that we'll be trying to keep an eye on for you is Stark County against United. That game being played in Toulon tonight. And a fairly limited schedule of high school playoff action around the area. The other Western Big Six teams in the playoffs, Rock Island and Alleman don't play until tomorrow. Now in motion, back to pass. Isaacson flushed out of the pocket, has some room to run, avoids one linebacker, has a first down at the 45-yard line, dragged down by the shoulder pads, just short of midfield. One of Isaacson's best runs of the season.
I was thinking that for a guy that's averaging, less than a yard a carry, he's turned a pretty good gain there and a first down out near midfield.
And he made the linebacker miss. He was a good 5-6 yards short of the first down when he made the linebacker miss, and that freed him up to get to the 48 for a new set of downs for the Silver Streaks, their first down of the night. out of the offset eye. Handoff to Diggins, who gets plowed in the backfield. Diggins got the handoff, and he had absolutely no chance. I think it was Carson Schumacher who came through off the defensive line and stopped Diggins for a loss of two.
And some help from Jeff Larson as well there for the U-Hi Pioneers, and showing some strength on the inside there against the Streaks running game. And, you know, as we said at the outset, Silver Streaks team right now, especially without Mixon's ability to break long ones we had early in the season, we're not blessed with a whole lot of firepower. We've got to take advantage of opportunities that we can find out there.
Cool night, 41 degrees at kickoff. Handoff goes to the left side. Diggins feels his way through a hole, backs up, dives across the 50 into U-Hi territory for the first time tonight, close to the 48-yard line. So he gets some of that back.
They played the hardest part of their schedule up front. Morton actually outgained U-Hi, I believe, in that game that they played, but U-Hi able to block a punt and return one for a touchdown. Their special teams helped to lead to that victory. And then, of course, they beat always tough Bloomington Central Catholic in week number two.
Third and six for the Silver Streaks. Fake left. Diggins finds a hole across the middle, dives forward close to the first down marker, and let's see where the spot is. It's at about the 43-yard line. They have to get to the 42. Let's see where the official wants to put this one. He's backing up. He is going to put it right at the 43. So the Silver Streaks with a decision to make here on fourth and one, early in the game, down 6-0.
Yeah, this is a tough call. Sometimes I have aggressiveness, but against this U-Hi quick strike offense, you hate to give them good field position when they're already ahead 6-0. This is a gamble going for it here.
On fourth and one. First big play of the game here. Isaacson with a sneak, trying to get the push from the offensive line. Looks like he got hit from behind as they tried to push him forward to the 42. From up here, it doesn't look real positive for the Silver Streaks. Some of the Galesburg players on the field pointing the other direction like they think they got the first down.
They gave him about a half a yard, but I don't think that's going to get it done.
Looks like the ball is sitting just short of the 42. If they get to the 42, actually from up here where that spot is, it looks like it could be enough, Jim. They're going to bring out the chains.
Yeah, this is going to be about as close as it gets.
The marker, the first down marker, is sitting, well,
it's not
less than
the,
halfway between the 42 and the 43.
Yeah.
Closer to the 42.
Be one of those credit card measurements, possibly.
Silver Streaks looking for a big fourth down conversion to keep possession here. The chain is stretched out. And the referee has to get right down on top of it, and the Streaks got it. I mean, they must have got, you're right, Jim, they must have got him by a sliver because he leaned over and looked down at the football right next to the chain, and the Streaks got it.
Yeah, you know it's close when they stretch the chains out and all the officials are still looking at each other trying to decide whether it's a first down or not. So, wow, the gamble paid off, but by the slimmest of margins, and the Silver Streaks keep the ball and keep the drive alive.
Keeps the hopes up for Emily Klein of Galesburg as well, our first contestant in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest tonight. Streaks score a touchdown in the first quarter. Emily wins a $10 gift certificate from Lieber's Boxcar Express on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. Double fake handoff. Now a pump fake. Isaacson throws it downfield, going for the home run. It looks to be caught, but we've got a flag down in the backfield. O'Brien Allen came down with it, fighting off the defender inside the 10-yard line, but this one is coming all the way back. What an effort by O'Brien Allen, even to come up with that one. And it's a good thing he did, because if it's interception, you're going to wave off the holding penalty in the backfield. So the Streaks, unfortunately, lose a big, big play. But they do still have possession.
Yeah, and O'Brien Allen lining up on that right tight end spot. I thought he might have got away with jumping off sides a little bit because he was streaking down the field. That pass was not intended for him. He actually cut across the field and, like you said, prevented an interception. And he was stoked after he caught that. He had no idea there was a penalty flag. He felt like they were going to be in business around the 10-yard line. But the penalty against the Streaks marks it all the way back to the 48.
Well, the call was not holding. It was actually an illegal shift on the Silver Streak. So they lose five out of that. But actually, if you want to consider the fact that the ball was going to be down to the 8-yard line, it ends up being about a 40-yard penalty. It'll go as five in the books on first and 15. Handoff to Holloway, trying to get to the outside. Sidesteps the defender, gets his way forward back to the 45-yard line, so he'll pick up two, maybe three on first down, but still behind the original line of scrimmage at the 45-yard line.
You know, we were targeting Ben Holloway with some key passes early in the season. Haven't done it as much here late. He is the leading receiver on the team, the sophomore with 9 catches for 213 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Got to think we may try and utilize that again here this evening. Peyton Isaacson, I think, at least made the U-High defense respect his arm on that throw. He tossed that about 50 yards in the air.
Second and 13 for the Silver Streaks. U-High jumping at the line. The pass, or the toss, gets away, rather, to Diggins, who gets stood up short of the 45-yard line. He's going to lose a yard as the swarming Pioneer defense was reading that one the whole way on the sweep right. So it's going to bring up third and a long 13, call it third and 14 after the loss of one.
A cool, crisp night. I don't think the player's probably too bothered by it. There's not a whole lot of wind. There is a breeze that's picked up a little bit since the sun went down. But still, as we've talked with a number of people today, much more preferable to play tonight than it would have been last night with still rainy conditions and very windy. Tonight, a much better football evening.
43 degrees at kickoff on third and 13. The Streaks get the handoff, and Trevon Diggins is mauled by three black defending jerseys who had no qualms about running Trevon 10 yards backward after sending him straight up. It was Kane Wildermuth again with the initial stop, and he had some help, and the officials, thankfully, forward progress only keeps it at the 48-yard line, because by the time Trevon was down, he was pushed all the way back to the Galesburg 40.
Yeah, and a couple of things on that. You wouldn't have known that we even had an offensive line out there. They just disappeared and got smashed, as did Diggins. And another thing, boy, on third and 13, I'd like to think we could come up with a little more imaginative play call than that, but straight into the line, didn't make it happen.
Drake Sykes with a high, impressive kick downfield, bouncing inside the 20. Strelva Shrieks surrounded as it rolls inside the 10, and they are going to down it at the 7-yard line with 3:48 to go in the first quarter. Another great kick by Drake Sykes. What a season he has had.
Yeah, and that one was nice. He's had a lot of long kicks that maybe have caught the top of the ball and then skipped into the end zone. That one, though, landed nice and flat, took a good Silver Streaks hop, and then rolled a little bit. Streaks defenders more than happy to just stand there and watch it roll inside the 10. So U-High's second possession, a whole different story as far as field position than their first.
Streaks take 6 minutes off the clock but come away with no score. They're down 6-0. All right, standing at his 3-yard line as Arian Werthman, the quarterback, steps back into the end zone to pass. Now flushed out of the pocket, rolling right. Sidesteps one defender, gets across the 10 up to the 14-yard line. A safe gain on first down, back to pass. Good coverage downfield for the Galesburg defense to prevent Werthman from finding an open receiver. But because he is so effective at running the ball as well as throwing the ball, he just tucked the ball in and gained 6.
Jacob Ryden over there on the tackle for the Silver Streaks. If you recall, he got a little nicked up last week and had a cramp and I think a little bad ankle, but he's back out there playing hard.
On second and 4, 2 wideouts to the near, 2 wideouts to the far side. The pitch goes to Johnson, trying to get to the outside, running for the sideline. Looks like the Streaks stop him just short of the first down marker, stand him up and swarm on top of him at about the 17.5-yard line. It'll bring up third and very short.
Pretty tough to hold when it's, you're talking third and
inches.
Yeah, it may be even less than an inch the way that marker is right on top of the needed first down yardage. So you got to think, especially as much as Werthman likes to run at quarterback for these Pioneers, that he'll just take it and fall forward if he has to.
And now the officials are going to come over and take a look at the sideline, and maybe they want to pull the chain out. No, they're not. They're going to look at it and just eyeball it and say that's a first down.
Yeah, well, when you've got the yard marker right on top of the, you know, you got to figure the ball's at the same spot. So no argument from the Silver Streak side that we could see. Pretty good turnout for Galesburg tonight.
It is.
Stands across the way, pretty much full.
As you would hope, for the first playoff appearance in 10 years. We were commenting earlier how we like all the flags, the Galesburg High School flags with the logo that they have lined up on the opposing bleachers. Johnson standing to the left of Werthman, back
there
to
we
pass,
go.
And
there
he
we
gets
go.
Sacked. Drilled backwards. Is that Hawkins who got through there?
Still waiting to see. Everybody's patting him on the helmet, but I couldn't
tell.
Robbie
Dowers. Wow.
Yeah, he didn't give He didn't give Worthman any time at all to set up there. Dowers just blew through in a big sack for the Streaks.
So one of the offensive line replacements last week for Galesburg, Robbie Dowers took over. With the loss of three Galesburg players taken off the team, Dowers with a big sack, and it's now second and 15. Snap to the left. Worthman has to bring it in with one hand, the left hand, and he's taken down for a loss. And this time,
that was Hawkins
who got it. So it was a nice job to reach out with the left hand and kind of cradle that ball on the shotgun snap, and then he tucked it in and ran, and Hawkins was right on top of him for a loss of two more.
Yeah, that was one of those plays where you're really not sure if that was designed or a broken play on the bad snap. I kind of got the feeling maybe he just decided he was going to take off because the snap was off center, but the Streaks defensive line was up to the task again.
All right, two wideouts to the near side, two wideouts to the far. Back to pass. Worthman looking downfield, flushed out of the pocket. He's got some room to run on the far side of the field. Galesburg pushes him out of bounds, short of the 25-yard line. He had to get close to the 30 to get the first down, so nice job by the Silver Streaks to just reach out the arms and knock him off balance before he could dive forward for the first down marker.
Yeah, Brian Allen saved the day on that one. The middle linebacker coming all the way over to that side of the field. Allen using that good speed, and you're right, Brad, he did just what he had to do. If he goes for the tackle, Worthman might cut it inside and get that first down, but Allen just shoved him out. He knew where the sticks were. As O'Brien is a very smart player as well as a very physical one, and a good play by the what I'm sure will be all-conference selection for the Streaks, O'Brien Allen.
Trevon Diggins standing at his own 42-yard line awaiting the punt from Luke Otto, standing back at his 10-yard line. Good snap right into the numbers. He steps into it, gets a low spin distance. Ben Holloway had to duck away from it as it was creeping up on his backside. And Yuhai downs it in Pioneer territory at the 49-yard line. So a bad punt gives the Streaks great field position with 52 seconds to go in the first quarter.
Yeah, so we'll get it back just about where we kicked it from. And good job by the Silver Streaks to avoid that ball. I think Trevon Diggins, who was back to receive the punt, was probably talking to his teammate Holloway, who was running away from it. When you're running away from the ball, you don't know where the thing's
Absolutely,
at.
Absolutely, you bet.
And that's one of those where it could hit you in the heel and become a disaster for a turnover. And I think Diggins was, because I saw Holloway turn around quickly once he started facing Trevon. And so good communication there saved what could have been a turnover.
Great field position for the Silver Streaks. Let's see if they can take advantage of it. The handoff goes left, a little dive inside the 48-yard line, rolling forward to about the 46. And a conservative little gain on first down for the Silver Streaks. And it was J.J. Range who got the carry. So gain of two. It'll be second and eight. Christian Powers got a lot of carries last week at the fullback spot. Here's Ben Holloway in motion. Handoff goes to Diggins, tries to get to the outside, bounces off a man at the 45, sprints for the sideline, and he's in first down territory at the 35 before he's knocked out of bounds.
Yeah, very good strong run by Diggins that time. Would not go down with the first helmet that got put off of him, bounced outside, and will move the chains again. So, you know, we were talking with Kelly Kane on the scouting report. He says, yeah, you know, you look at all the film and you match up, but he said sometimes when you get out there and you lock up and you make some hits, the game can kind of change and teams start to get a little more confidence. And I think after that opening shock of having the fumble and the quick score by the Pioneers, the Silver Streaks are gaining confidence as this first quarter winds down.
11.2 seconds to go. Handoff up the middle, and that won't go anywhere. That'll be the final play of the first quarter, and the Streaks probably lose a yard on that play. So after one, Yuhai scores after a Galesburg turnover just over 2 minutes into the game, and that's where we stand at the end of one. 6-0 Pioneers. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
You can tell the difference between someone who's come to the class prior to their surgery and had the education versus those that have not.
OSF St. Mary Medical Center introduced their Joint Camp program back in 2006. Registered nurse Connie Young feels the program has influenced positive outcomes.
It's really about educating our patients. What's going to happen to them when they get their joint replaced? What's their care going to be like when they're in the hospital?
Joint Camp is your first step to full recovery. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together. Better.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football tomorrow as the Illini take on Indiana. Coverage begins at 10:30.
The Fighting Illini play here. Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
One quarter gone as the Silver Streaks battle Normal U-High in the first round of the 6A playoffs. We are at Illinois Wesleyan University. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you, and our thanks to one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, providing our transportation to Bloomington tonight. In style, as always, Jim, maybe even a little more style than usual.
Yes, we would like to thank the folks out of Galesburg Nissan for a terrific ride over here tonight. The Nissan Murano, one of our favorites, and worked out pretty well. We had an extra passenger in tow and had plenty of for him as well as all our broadcast equipment. Love the Nissan Murano. We'll tell you more about it later in the broadcast.
Back to pass. Isaacson has Holloway open on the far side and sneaking out of the line, out of the defensive back spot. Coming over was Zach Zook, who knocked it down, almost came away with the interception, and the Streaks lucky to hang on to the ball here as it falls incomplete.
Yeah, I thought maybe Holloway had a step just a bit underthrown that time by Isaacson. Of course, they've got some size out there at the defensive secondary. Malik Wildermuth, he goes 6'4", and so it's pretty tough to lob over the top of him. Of course, he's the receiver as well on the offensive side, and these Wildermuth twins, one 6'4", and one is 6'5", and they cause some problems because they're good athletes.
Yeah, Holloway had the step on his man, but it was the free safety who came sneaking over and got a hand on it and knocked it loose. Powers lines up, fake handoff to him. Diggins steps across the middle, finds a hole, diving forward, trying to back his way in, and he's got the first down as the pile moves another 5 yards down to the 21-yard line. And the official, apparently the ball popped out, but the official standing right there saying it was down, and the U-High players are upset about the call.
Yeah, official making it very clear. He was adamant that that ball was down, and so the Streaks get a nice big gain and a first down, and we do have a U-High player down on the field, so we'll have a little bit of a delay here right now.
Goes as a gain of 22 as the Streaks get a huge third down conversion and a chance for our second contestant in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest. Good luck to Bonnie Allen of East Galesburg. Silver Streaks score a touchdown in this quarter. Bonnie wins a $10 gift certificate from Lieber's Boxcar Express, and any winner in our touchdown contest has the name entered into the final drawing for a party sub from Lieber's Boxcar Express at the end of the football season. It's been a while since we've had a winner after getting shut out in terms of touchdowns last week. Only a field goal against Richwoods. You have to go back to the Quincy game and the double overtime victory. We gave away a lot of gift certificates that night.
I think we had one every quarter in that game.
Just about.
And so tonight, pretty good chance for Bonnie Allen as the Streaks look to be on the move. We still got to scale another 22 yards to get the job done. And the U-High player that had been injured is coming up a little bit shaky, but under his own power after the trainers got out there. And looks like number 53, Nate Corey, is coming off the field for the Pioneers.
So the Silver Streaks with the ball at the 22-yard line, trailing 6-0. Streaks turned it over on their first possession of the game, gave U-High great field position at the Galesburg 32-yard line. They took only two plays to score after that, but both teams have been held scoreless since, although the Streaks on the move here from the 22, just underway in the second quarter. Hand off to the right, Powers doesn't get a whole lot. Looks like he's lucky to get back to the line of scrimmage. It'll be 2nd and 10 coming up. Not much running room for Christian Powers tonight on a couple of carries. Diggins, the leading rusher in the game so far, 10 carries for 40 yards.
We mentioned the name Range over here in Bloomington, and the broadcasters for the WJBC, their big sports station over here, said, yeah, we recognize that name Range. Of course, JJ's dad put up all sorts of numbers and records at the Holiday Classic next door at the Shirk Center in his junior and senior seasons here.
Scored 55 against Chicago Near North, a school record. Hand off to the left side, Diggins gets down low. Looked like U-High was trying to get the arms in there and rip it out of his hands. Gets to the 20-yard line for a gain of a couple, and that'll bring up 3rd down and 8 for the Silver Streaks. Galesburg, 1 of 3 on third downs tonight, but they got a big third down on the last series here on this offensive possession. Ball spotted at the 20. This is the 8th play of the drive coming up here. It started back at the U-High 49-yard line after a great Galesburg defensive effort and a big punt by Drake Sykes. Pinned U-High deep. The Streaks defense came up big, and after a short punt by the Pioneers, Streaks trying to take advantage of good field position, but they need a big 3rd and 8 conversion here from the Pioneer 20-yard line. Hand off right. Now the handoff to Holloway, who tries to cut back to the middle, and there just wasn't anything there. Falls down right at the 20-yard line for 9, and it'll bring up 4th and 8.
Well, this is an interesting call. Yep. Tanner Laird has a good leg. He'd be kicking into a bit of a light breeze blowing from the, looks like, about the northwest. And he kicked the field goal. Looks like maybe we're going to give that a whirl, Brad.
It would be a 37-yarder. He certainly got the leg to do it. As Jim mentioned, it's a breeze. It was at 11 miles an hour earlier when I checked, so not incredibly strong by any means. Now Peyton Isaacson calling to the sideline. He's got to step away. He'll be the holder on the field goal attempt here as the Streaks try to cut the deficit in half, down 6-0, and the Streaks going to have to call a timeout or else they were going to get burned with a delay of game penalty, and that would have turned a 37-yarder into a much more difficult 42-yarder.
Yeah, if there's ever a good spot to take your timeout, that was it right there. Make sure everybody's on the same page, and like you said, avoid that what would have been devastating a 5-yard delay of game penalty. So all the coaches come out on the field to meet with the players and make sure they're ready to roll here.
Another chance to talk about the Murano, which we didn't get much of a chance to talk about. You talked about the great room in there, and a very smooth ride it is, too.
It is, and it's big enough unit that it's got a great engine, too. Picks up very well. And I remember the first time I had one of these, we went up a number of years ago to the Iowa-Illinois shootout in the Quad Cities, and it was a day where it was snowing quite a bit coming back. I believe I left you up there to do some shopping, and I came back on Route 150, and there was snow all over the road, and you couldn't tell. It was just awesome. I just love the Nissan Murano, and whether the roads are dry like they are now or covered with snow, they are a great unit to have. Stop by and see them at Galesburg Nissan.
Coming out of the timeout, good snap, good hold, and a low line drive kick by Tanner Laird. He never got into that one, and that one comes up not only way too low, but way too far left. So clearly, the snap looked good, but maybe Peyton just couldn't get the ball turned the right way for Tanner. Maybe he didn't get his footing down, because that is not the kind of kicking we've seen from Tanner Laird this season.
And that barely cleared the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So, yep, that didn't turn out the way we wanted, but we'll see if the defense can hold here again. Silver Streaks have served notice, I think, after that opening debacle that they're here to play, and they're locking up on the line of scrimmage well with these Pioneers. And we'll see if they can continue to shut down a little bit this potent U-High attack.
9:02 to go, first half. Pioneers take over. High snap, but the handoff away to Johnson, who breaks free up the middle. Got some running room, and only Diggins and Holloway are able to take him down to the 20-yard line. Otherwise, he was gone.
You know, it's interesting. I thought there was a penalty flag on the play, but their quarterback, Arian Werthmann, wears yellow shoes.
I saw that earlier, actually. I saw the same thing, and I couldn't figure out why I thought I saw a flag, but I think that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, there's looks like there's one other player on the line that also has those, but, yeah, I mean, it's just exactly the same color as a penalty flag.
Two wideouts to the left, two to the near side. One man goes in motion, that's Johnson, and the officials blow a flag at the line of scrimmage just as that play gets away because U-High called a timeout. 8:28 to go, first half, 6-0. Pioneers lead the Streaks. You're listening to Galesburg High School Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
It's Michelle and Patsy from Bates Collision Center.
We're all about teamwork here at Bates. Everyone here plays an important role in the repair of your vehicle after an accident.
From the moment you walk in our door, you can trust that the team at Bates Collision Center is working for you.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan, right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Stay up to date with the latest sports information. Fox Sports Radio. Weekends on Galesburg Radio 14. WGIL.
Coming out of the U-High timeout. First down from the Pioneer 40-yard line. Two wideouts to each side of the field for quarterback Arian Werthmann in the shotgun. Hand off to Sengsay on the left side. Breaks up the middle of the field into Galesburg territory. Diving just across the 50-yard line. To about the 48-yard line, Brian Sengsay, a 5'9", 175-pound junior, who showed a quick burst of speed right up the middle on a nice offensive line, a nice hole opened up by the middle of the offensive line.
Yeah, that's a last name I have never seen before, S-E-N-G-S-A-Y, Sengsay. And he's got some speed, and the Pioneers, who were struggling with their passing game because of the Streaks' pressure, have gone to the run and picked up some big yardage the last two downs.
Same formation. Johnson in motion again. Fake handoff fumble. Streaks look like they might have fallen on it back at the 49, although Werthmann was right there for it too, and I think maybe he got up for it first.
Yep, Silver Streak so close.
Two of them right there to dive for it.
Manny Valdez, one of them, and he's always got a nose for the ball. Just a hair late to get to it.
Well, Jim, you talked about hoping for some key turnovers tonight to give the Streaks a little extra help, and there was almost one there. Let's see if that slows UHI's offense down a little bit here. They had two big running plays to get into Galesburg territory. Now they're back just short of the 50-yard line on 2nd and 12. Werthmann in the shotgun. High snap. He goes up for it. Swing pass to the outside. Received by Johnson trying to get to the outside.
Boy, nice,
and there's Parks coming up to wrap him up.
Parks fought off a block out there and made a heck of a play. Trying to think who else was in the area trailing the play that time for the Silver Streaks. I don't think he was going to make the play without Parks' help. And Tyson holds that to what?
Gain of four.
Did he get four out of that?
Right. Yep. And it'll bring up 3rd and 8.
It was Matt Hawkins actually was chasing the play. He was doing the best he could, but didn't have enough speed. But Parks was up to the task.
On 3rd and 8 for the Pioneers from the Silver Streaks 46-yard line, 6:45 to go first half. Galesburg down 6-0. UHI trying to move the chains here. Werthmann tucks it in, trying to get to the outside. Under pursuit, breaks free from one tackle, breaks free from another tackle, and somehow he gets the first down close to the 35-yard line.
Well,
two defenders missed.
Yeah, yep, we had a great shot at him. Should never have let him get away for that first down, and that's a big one that keeps their drive alive.
They were stringing him out to the near side of the field, and once he turned the corner, that's where the first defender missed. And the second one missed just about a yard short of the line of scrimmage, and that allowed him to get to the 35, so he picked up 11 on 3rd and 8, and a big third down conversion to move UHI down to the Silver Streaks 35.
Well, again, Werthmann, a stocky quarterback at 5'10", 195, and as you said, just a sophomore. He's very confident back there, and he'll take what you give him.
And he tucks it in after the snap, breaks free out of the middle, trying to cut to the outside. Now Anderson in pursuit of him, Diggins in pursuit of him. They drag him down from behind, but he's inside the 10 for a first and goal at the 8.
Yeah, Werthmann juked inside and went out, just left Will Anderson standing there with nothing to grab but air. Werthmann way overmatched Anderson on athleticism that time and able to turn that corner and make it a big, big play.
He's up to 62 yards rushing now as the Pioneers, after a big defensive stand by Galesburg on the last UHI possession, is backpedaling now. Werthmann, 8 carries for 62 yards tonight, and first and goal from the 8, already leading 6-0, trying to add to it. He's gained 38 yards on his last 2 carries, and they've done it on the ground here. Now inside the Galesburg 10, out of the shotgun. High snap, he hands off. And Singsay trying to get up the middle. And we've got a false start signaled by the side judge as that play was blown dead with the flag down. It'll come back 5. It'll be first and goal from the Silver Streaks 13-yard line.
First time I've ever done a game live from this stadium. I remember watching on TV last year. Monmouth College played on this field in the Division III playoffs. Posted one of the biggest wins in their school history when they beat Illinois Wesleyan in a great game. Speaking of college play tomorrow, Knox has the week off. And Monmouth College at home to Illinois College tomorrow afternoon. We've got Fighting Illini football here tomorrow, 10:30 in the morning against Indiana.
Second and goal, or first and goal from the 13. Little pitch to Singsay, trying to get to the outside. Diving, looked like he almost fell forward to the 10-yard line. Maybe he tripped himself up. There was nobody there to stop him. And then he just kind of dove for it. I mean, Streaks were in pursuit. He wasn't going to make it, I'm pretty sure, but looked like he just kind of fell.
Yeah, looks like something I'd do out there. He got so excited, and then he was leaning forward too far, got off stride, and then, just dove at the 10-yard line.
Still picked up 3. It'll be second and goal from the 10.
And we have a penalty. Block below the waist, is that right?
Yeah, got a chop block against UHI. So that'll negate the gain of 3, and a 5-yard penalty on the false start, and now they're going to go backwards even farther. Clock stopped just short of halfway through the second quarter, 6:14 to go with UHI trying to add to a 6-0 lead here. A turnover on the third play of the game by the Silver Streaks. Gave Uhi great defensive position, a great offensive position, rather, at the Galesburg 32-yard line. Other than that, the Streaks have held up to this point. The ball goes all the way back to the 15, or rather 25-yard line on the 15-yard penalty.
Silver Streaks, the only Western Big 6 team to play tonight. Rock Island and Alleman will have their games tomorrow. And, of course, I still think back there a few weeks ago, that Quincy game, we knew it at the time. It was a playoff game because Quincy won last week. They would have been 5-4 if they would have won that game, and they'd be playing in a playoff game tonight. But the Streaks, with that great defensive stop there a few weeks ago, the play of the season, got themselves into this position.
Now with one handoff to Johnson as he lined up to the right of Worthman. He tries to find his way through the left side of the offensive line, strung to the outside. They finally dragged him down at the 20-yard line, so it'll be a gain of 5.
Yeah, Johnson runs hard, and I thought he was going to break through that seam. But Ryden came over and just rocked him from his spot on the inside of the line. Great job by Jacob Ryden in the solo tackle, and brings up a second down. And where are we at here? Is it goal?
We're at the 18-yard line, yep.
Okay.
So one running back lining up to each side of Worthman. Back to pass this time. Here comes the pressure. He just throws it away downfield, and it's intercepted, I believe, by Holloway in the end zone. And the Streaks are going to get it at the 20-yard line as Worthman, off his back foot falling backwards, just threw it up for grabs, and Holloway got underneath it first, and a huge turnover for the Silver Streaks.
That was truly a team credit on the turnover there, because it was the line that got through there quickly and forced Worthman to throw that ball before he wanted to. As you said, he was on his back foot, didn't get a whole lot of steam on it, got it up into that breeze, and it sailed to the back of the end zone, and there was Holloway to make the pick, probably just his feet a yard or two inside the back of the end zone. So Streaks come up big and deny the Pioneers.
So Galesburg still down by just a touchdown. Rolling right, and then a little dive play back across the middle for Trevon Diggins up to the 22. Under 5 minutes to play. Streaks take over after the first Uhi turnover. 5:05 to go in the first half. Now under 4:50 to go. It'll bring up second and 8.
Well, I still think, looking at Uhi, they've got some good athletes, but I think Trevon Diggins is still the fastest player on that field right now. If we can find him a gap, you got a tie game. We just got to find him a seam, and I think we could be tied in this.
Handoff up the middle. Looked like they went to Powers that time, and there wasn't a whole lot there as he gains maybe a yard. And it was Holloway, the last one off the bottom of the pile, so he goes for no gain, and very quickly after the big turnover,
yeah.
Galesburg already facing 3rd and 8 now.
Streaks tried to throw the ball deep one time and actually ended up in a reception, but we had a holding penalty that called that back. That was O'Brien Allen that made that big catch. Since that time, I don't think we've tried to put it in the air, have we?
Nope.
I mean, not that we're going to be air streaks anyway and throw it 20 times a game, but now we got a penalty. We're
going
for
the back.
Yeah,
it was a penalty against Galesburg, so it's back 5, so it'll, but no loss of down, so it'll be 2nd and 13. That yard line. Third penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks. Interesting that they take the 5-yard penalty, I guess, when you got 3rd and 8 the way Uhi's defense has played this deep in Galesburg territory. So they're going to give the Streaks an extra down. Hand off, trying to get up the middle. Diggins fights off one man across the middle. Looks like he got back to the 20-yard line. So a gain of just 3, and instead of 3rd and 8, it'll be 3rd and 10. So the Uhi strategy pays off in that they push Galesburg back a couple of yards on 3rd down now, I guess.
Although another play at, you know, 30, 40 seconds off the clock.
3:40
to go. But if the Streaks don't make it here, Uhi might be a little pressed on time, depending on the field position, to get another score before half. Let's just hope we get the first down and it's not a problem.
Streaks with 2 tight ends here. Lining everybody in tight at the line of scrimmage. Holloway breaking to the outside. The handoff goes up the middle, and there's just nothing there. Absolutely nothing there. Deep in Galesburg territory, and Coach Jim Doherty was definitely playing close to the vest. As did not want any major mistakes, like an interception, for example, to give you a great field position. But now the pressure on Drake Sykes again has been terrific out of the punting spot. But he's all the way back at his
5-yard line to receive this one.
Yeah, kicking into the wind. Good respect, though, by the Pioneers. Punt returner back beyond the 50.
And a short punt this time, and it takes a U-High bounce, rolling to the side, and Galesburg touches it and deflects it into Galesburg territory, but the official saw Trevon do that as he tried to bat it with some extra yardage, but they saw that one all the way, and U-High's going to have it at the Galesburg 46-yard line, and still a lot of time to go. 2:38 to go in the first half, and the Pioneers leading 6-0.
Well, the U-High coaching staff certainly
saw
that.
They sure did.
They were on it, pointing at that ball. I'm not sure that the official on the sideline saw it, but the fellow across the field did as he came over and pointed and said, yep. Otherwise, you'd have had a pretty unhappy Pioneers coaching staff.
Especially when it happened on their side of the field right in front of them. So the Pioneers get it in Galesburg territory on this possession at the 46-yard line, and the Streaks defense needs to stiffen up again here. Two wideouts to each side of the field. Worthman in the shotgun, rolling to the near side with some blockers in front of him, but it's a short side of the field. He fends off one man and then falls across the 40-yard line to about the 38. Healthy little gain on first down. It's going to bring up second and two.
Ryan Darby in pursuit that time for the Silver Streaks, and he's one of several Streaks that ended up changing their uniform numbers before the game. We got used to seeing Ryan in number 42, and now he's wearing 31. Darby was there. He just didn't seem to be real sure of where he wanted to put himself to make the tackle.
2 minutes to go, first half. Worthman tucks it in, runs to the opposite side, and he gets upended. Nice low block by Michael Moss to get underneath him. And that tripped up Worthman, but he gets enough for the first down across the 35 to the 34-yard line.
Reminded me a little bit of John Elway in the Super Bowl, the kind of way he airplane spin that time when he got tackled against the Packers down by the goal line. Still picked up some yardage even after Moss hit him low.
Worthman with 74 yards rushing out of the quarterback spot on just 10 carries. Back to pass this time to the far side of the field. It's intercepted! Intercepted by the Silver Streaks coming from the backside. Holloway, there is a flag down in the backfield as well. Holloway read it perfectly, just ran right in front of his man and picked it off.
Sure did, and you got to think this flag is going to go against U-High. In fact, they're already sending their defense out onto the field. Great anticipation by Holloway. As that ball just had too much air underneath it, Worthman a little nonchalant as he popped that thing up in the air, and it gave Holloway a chance to adjust, make the pick, and the penalty is against U-High, and the Streaks are going to take over.
So Worthman, his last two passes have both been intercepted by Ben Holloway, and the Silver Streaks have it at their 19-yard line with a minute 49 to go in the first half. So two big defensive stops for the Silver Streaks. But they need to get something going offensively. And they have a minute 49 to take it downfield here in the first half to try to get on the board, trailing 6-0. This drive starting from their 19. Diggins the lone setback. One wide out to each side of the field. Handoff goes up the middle. Teron with a little bit of a hole dives across the 20 to the 23.
Well, as long as we keep this a one-touchdown game, anything's possible. It only takes one big play to take the lead. Streaks may not get it done here at the end of the half, but going to the locker room down just 6, I think this team will take some confidence out there. And, you know, U-High's missed some golden opportunities here, and many times that'll come back to haunt you later in the game.
You know, Tanner Laird's last field goal attempt notwithstanding, if this comes down to a kick, I like our chances. Second and 6, just across the 20-yard line. Isaacson back to pass, lofts it out there, and trying to draw contact, Will Anderson leans into the defensive back downfield, Zach Zook, as he was trying to draw a pass interference penalty. It is.
Did he drop
Anderson
a flag?
Was trying to get, oh, there is a flag down back at the 22-yard line. This one, I think, is going to be against Galesburg, though. Can't be a pass interference because it was downfield. It's a false start against the Silver Streaks.
Huh.
So why did they let that one play out?
Yeah.
That should be a dead ball flag. Clock stops with a minute 6 to go. So that'll take Galesburg back to the Silver Streaks 18-yard line. Fourth penalty of the night against the Streaks for 25 yards.
So second and 11 for the Silver Streaks from their 18-yard line now. Again, just over a minute to play first half. Haven't talked about our halftime interview coming up yet.
That's right. We're going to look ahead to the Silver Streaks boys basketball season. Head coach Mike Reynolds had a chance to sit down and talk with him this afternoon. The coach's office and the new locker room facility there, and we will find out his thoughts on the upcoming basketball season.
Second and 11, handoff right. Looks like the streak got tripped up at the line of scrimmage. I think Powers got tripped up on his by his own man. Not intentionally by any means, as Gage Miller was trying to set a block for him, and looked like Gage kind of got pushed backward a little bit, and I think his feet tangled up with Powers. They're going to give Powers a gain of 2, so it'll be 3rd and 9. As the Pioneers call timeout with 59 seconds to go before halftime, deep in Galesburg territory here, they want to come up with a big defensive stop and then probably strategically rush the punter is what they're thinking at this point, but we do have a U-High player down at the moment.
Interesting, I had mentioned going out to GHS today, and I walked in the locker room, and I thought, what has happened in here? Well, Mike Reynolds was telling me they took out a part of one wall, and it made a separate little area outside of the coach's office for the players. In fact, he said it was all, you know, money internally raised. I guess Matt Pogue actually put down the floor. A linoleum kind of has a wood look to it. Somebody made some new wooden locker facilities for the players to use. And so they've got a new little cubby hole there to meet for basketball this year in the Silver Streaks locker room.
Very nice. Not that we want our next broadcast to be bad.
No, and that was what Mike Reynolds said. He said, if Trevon Diggins and Tyson Parks want to play till Thanksgiving, that's fine with me. They'll catch up because they're the two that will be playing varsity basketball.
On 3rd and 9, Diggins gets to the outside. Maybe some room to run up the sideline. Ooh, gets hit hard right at the sideline short of the 30-yard line. He got plowed out of bounds at the 29. It's enough, should be enough for the first down. Let's see where they spot. I mean, he got leveled. He got hit high.
He went airborne.
Trevon went air. I was just going to say, yep, my words exactly. And it does stop the clock with 51.3 seconds to go.
He bounced right back up, though, and so this is another of many close marks we've had. It looks to be shy of the first down, at least from the angle we have here.
And on the ball, sitting right in front of the marker over there, and it, oh, yeah, and that's what it was. He was hit the way he was hit. They're going to call a personal foul against U-High.
Well, that'll work.
And the U-High coaching staff is unhappy about that one. I mean, he got leveled hard right on the sideline. So a personal foul penalty gives the Silver Streaks the first down and the biggest penalty of the night against the Pioneers. And this is going to move the ball for the Silver Streaks all the way up just short of the 44-yard line.
Well, barring a turnover, that negates any chance the Pioneers have of getting the ball back and trying to mount a final drive. 51 seconds to go. Streaks working into the wind, still 47 yards from Pater. Make that 57.
Handoff. Oh, there you go, Jim. There's the fumble right there. A bad handoff, bad connection, and the Pioneers get it back at the 44-yard line with 47 seconds to go.
Just get a break like that and then give it right back to them. You hate to see that. Hopefully the defense has one more stand in them here to stay within 6 points at the half.
Boy, it would be devastating to go into the locker room down 2 touchdowns after the way they have hung in there in this first half, falling behind just over 2 minutes into the game, and now their second turnover of the night.
Watch the swing pass to Johnson. They made that work early in the game, and they may go to that again.
With 47 seconds to go, handoff up. Thengsay got tripped up at the line of scrimmage. He gains a couple on first down. And they're going to scramble back, not calling a timeout here. From the Galesburg 42-yard line. Pump fake. Lots of time. Now Werthmann tucks it in. Runs up the middle, and he's rolled down across the 40-yard line as Moss came over and took him down short of the first down marker. And the Pioneers burn a timeout here with 21 seconds to go with a 6-0 lead. And they'll be 2 yards short of the first down.
I'm not sure Pioneers head coach Dusty Burke was very happy about that when he stormed out onto the field. Something didn't go right with his team. They did get some yardage, but they probably get in a position where they can take a Hail Mary here if they need to. 21 seconds left. I'm guessing they'll probably try maybe to get a sideline out here. They've got, again, big targets at the wide receiver spot, 6'4 and 6'5, plus the speedy Joe Johnson out of the backfield. And that timeout quickly ends, and the Pioneers are lined up ready to
have at it again with the spread offense.
21 seconds to go. Two wideouts to each side of the field. Sengse lining up just to the left of Worthman at the quarterback spot. He hands off to Sengse. A little hole up the middle. Got slowed down from behind. And do we have another turnover? Or are the Streaks just celebrating the big defensive stop there?
Well, they got it.
Oh, they did get it back. How about that? So the fifth turnover of the first half. Two interceptions and now the first fumble of the night by the Pioneers. And the Streaks are going to get it back with 13.6 seconds to go. And another valiant defensive stop by the Silver Streaks to take over at their own 32.
Sure was. And who would have thought we'd have two turnovers in the last 50 seconds of this half. And if you're the Silver Streaks, maybe you just take a knee on this one and say, well, let's see what happens in the second half. And it looks like we're lining up pretty tight in there. I think that's what's going to happen.
Jacob Ryden grabbed Sengse from the backside, and I'm not so sure when he did. He didn't manage to get his hand in there and poke it free. So the Streaks do take a knee at the end of the first half, and we go to the locker room. First playoff game in 10 years, and the Streaks down just a touchdown. 6-0 as we go to the break. Again, coming up at halftime, Jim Lee's interview with Streaks boys basketball coach Mike Reynolds. And when we come back on halftime, look at the first half statistics, set up the second half with a coach's interview for you as well from down on the field. U-High 6, Galesburg nothing. Playoff football has reached halftime from Illinois Wesleyan University on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Oh, just a little further. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
It's closeout time on all-new 2012 Chase
of Yim. The city's so big. It's scary.
Buy any new 2012 Jeep model and pay $750 under invoice. Plus, keep all rebates.
Buy a new 2012 Jeep Unlimited Sahara 4x4 with trailer tow and remote start for $32,084.
Hair-raising savings of over $2,800.
Yeah. Buy a 2012 Jeep Liberty Jet Edition 4x4 with 20-inch aluminum wheels and remote start
for $26,047.
Be shocked with savings of $4,878.
Don't be intimidated by the ghostly savings of $5,044
on a 2012 Jeep Grand Cherokee loaded with 20-inch polished aluminum wheels, Overland 4x4, blind spot and cross path detection, and a 5.7 V8 engine with fuel saver technology.
So many extras with monstrous savings.
Jeepers Creepers closeout at Yem in Galesburg. Jeep, go anywhere, do anything.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
The official WGIL forecast, the freeze warning is in effect from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Saturday. Tonight, clear skies and cold with an overnight low of 29. Tomorrow, look for sunny skies and a high reaching 48. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies with an overnight low near 30 degrees. Sunday, sunny skies and a high reaching around 50. It's currently 42 degrees in downtown Galesburg on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the OSF St. Mary Medical Center Halftime Report. Brought to you by OSF St. Mary Medical Center in Galesburg. All together, better.
Halftime of Silver Streaks football on WGIL. And let's turn our attention, well, to a sport we'll be covering in a matter of weeks. Mike Reynolds joins us to talk about the Silver Streaks boys basketball. Mike, we're ready to roll again, and I'm anxious to see what you get, and I guess you probably are as well with practice starting before too long.
Yeah, we've got another week before practice starts here. We've got a good mix of returners, and we've got a number of younger guys that are going to be vying for time. So it's a good thing. You know, hopefully competition will breed a nice intensity in our practice.
You know, last year you had lost a
about all your scoring in that senior group that won 25 games the year before. And I remember telling somebody before last season, I said, if you can win 10 games with that bunch, maybe you ought to have a bronze statue put out front. Well, I haven't seen the statue go up, but you guys did win a little hardware and made some nice steps in what was kind of a transition year last year.
Yeah, it was a year to get some guys' experience, and not only on the varsity level, but even on the under levels, to try to get them ready to play this year and next year. And we know that we have really good talent in our younger levels, and we started a freshman last year, and there's a possibility that there could be a couple more freshmen on the varsity. We'll have to see once practice starts how their transition is. But from everything that we see in the summer, you know, we're want to take another step forward this season.
You're the freshman you're talking about. Grant Gibson did a great job for you, and really, I think, set the tone as far as how hard he plays and the hustle that you want this program to be about, doesn't he?
Yeah, you know, and since last season, he's gotten a lot better. You know, he's played a lot of AAU basketball and done a lot of individual workouts, and I think you'll see his game transition from strictly a post player to all the way past the three-point line and be more of a perimeter type, attacking the basket type player than he was last year. And he is the you know, you hate to use the term leader, but he's certainly one of the leaders of our program, you know, by example, the way he goes about his business every day and the effort he brings in on a daily basis.
As far as handling the ball and your guard play, you're kind of a work in progress right now. We understand Kendall Thompson won't be playing this year, and so you're going to have to see some guys develop into leaders out front rather quickly, I would guess.
Yeah, you know, we're going to have some younger guys and some inexperienced guys, you know, push forward. We think we've got a nice group of guys. I don't know that we'll hand a guy the ball like we did here in years past and just say bring it up every time. But guys like Grant, who we mentioned before, and Carson Cheeseman have a little experience in that role. Trevon Diggins, who's still playing football, has done a nice job for us in the summertime handling the ball and doing some things. And we've got a couple freshmen and sophomores that have a chance to maybe push through, and you know, we'll have to see once practice starts with those guys, but they've got a chance to maybe mix in with some minutes there, and you know, we're excited about the possibilities of the group. I don't know that we'll have any, you know, standout or stars at those positions, but we think our group is pretty good.
You mentioned some freshmen and sophomores maybe contributing on varsity, and I was talking with Ryan Hart a little bit before you got here, and that was a little bit to his dismay. He thought he was going to have a pretty powerful team and still may at the under level, but you may pick a few players away, huh?
Yeah, you know, that's I think, you know, we've always led by the theory of trying to get our best players on the varsity team, you know, no matter how old they are, and we're going to do that again. I think we've got a couple guys like Joe Williams who was – starred at the freshman level last year and played really well at the sophomore level. Then we have three freshmen, Ethan Meeker and you know, who played all summer with us against some pretty good competition and played really well. And then Eric Thompson, Chad's little brother from a few years ago, and Devin Ross. So we got some guys that have a chance to push into that mix, some younger guys. And we also have a couple of juniors coming up from the sophomore team and Denzel Jones and Tyson Parks, who's done a nice job all summer and brings a little more athleticism than we've had in the past at those positions.
Yeah, and the way Tyson's been playing on defense out there, a very physical, confident kid with that you can always use that strength.
Yeah, certainly. Tyson's grown leaps and bounds in a couple areas. You know, I think all coaches questioned his toughness a little bit, maybe as a freshman, and I think he was just kind of trying to feel his way out through high school, and last year he kind of blossomed in basketball and played really well down the stretch for the sophomore team, and all summer played really well for us, and you know, I think if you ask Coach Doherty, he'd say the same thing. He's really came on the season in football, and we're looking for big things from him again in basketball.
How many games did the team get played this summer?
Oh boy, trick question of the day. 30 or so, you know, is about the number, and you know, we played everybody from Manuel to Richwoods to Edwardsville. You know, we had Alton up here for a couple of days. We tried to travel around and play the best and most athletic teams we could find, and we competed really well, and we like our chances when we play against teams. We found a few things out in the summertime. Just about our team, you know, I think we need defensively are going to play a little faster, and it won't be quite as a grinded out defensively as we've had in the past, and we found that out. That's not really, you know, what I love to do, but it's the strength of this team, so we're going to run with it. And I think, you know, offensively, we're still a little bit of a work in progress. We've got some good pieces that fit together, We're going to be a little bigger and stronger inside with Ryan Carl and Marcus Ross, who have come along here, and we'll be able to put some quicker, more athletic lineups on. So we've got to have a little different variety than we've had in the past.
You'll open the night before Thanksgiving again. Who will be your opponent? And tell us a little bit about that Thanksgiving tournament.
Yeah, you know, we play East Peoria. They're a new addition to the tournament the first night. Actually, that's the first night for us. The first night of the tournament's on the Monday before Thanksgiving. United Township and Limestone play that night. And we have eight teams back. Westinghouse, Moline. East Moline's new this year. Limestone, East Peoria. Englewood out of Chicago and Dyett out of Chicago. So we're excited about the field we put together. Might be a little stronger than it was in some years. And you know, everybody's kind of going through transitions and changes. You know, Moline has a new coach, and UT lost a lot of players. And Limestone, I think, right now on paper, Limestone and Westinghouse has the most guys coming back, and they should be the favorites probably.
And looking at your schedule, a really interesting stretch where you're home for that tournament, you're on the road a good part of December, you're home all of January, and then on the road pretty much all February. Have you ever had a schedule quite like that?
No, hopefully we can host a regional or something. Maybe we can be home in March. But no, but it just, you know, it is what it is at this point. And you know, we had some chances to change some games around. But I think it's important for us to, with a young team, to try to play home at the beginning and see if we can, you know, kind of push forward and get some early games and maybe steal a win or two in the league early. We have a couple league games at home early, and then you know, we'll go out on the road in February, and hopefully by then we'll kind of be battle tested and be ready to go.
And it sounds like you know, sometimes you go into a season and any spectators that have watched the year before can pretty well name the starting five. This year, a couple I think we can count on, but it sounds like there's some open opportunities now for a number of these guys.
Yeah, and I think, you know, depending on matchups, you know, we've got to decide it sometimes. We want Grant guarding a bigger guy or a smaller guy, and that pushes guys into different positions at times. We're a little more flexible than we have been in years past, which is a good thing. We think we have a lot of competition at a lot of different spots. You know, some young guys, some older guys. Some older guys, you know, are going to get a rude awakening because, you know, the good thing is these younger guys think they can play. And when you think you can play, you're going to bring effort every day to practice. And hopefully that'll mean we have more guys to choose from and a better product on the floor.
Well, one thing I know from your coaching, if they don't bring effort to practice, they may not be seeing much of the floor at all. That's kind of job one with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way, you know, we have a saying, you know, the silver streak way. And that's the only way we go about our business is we come every day and try to prepare and play hard like, you know, we're playing the best team in the country. And with our schedule, a lot of times it feels like we are. But we like our guys, and we think they're pretty good. And our young guys have a lot to learn. But I think with their effort and athleticism, we've got a shot.
All right. Good luck as you start practice next week, Coach. And hopefully the football players will be a few weeks away yet. But if that's the case, you'll get by without them for a while, and probably gladly so.
Yeah, Trevon and Tyson basically seems like our only older guys that are there in football. And they can catch up. They can catch up. So hopefully it's all the way to Thanksgiving. Who knows? Crazier things have happened.
Thanks, Mike, and good luck.
All right, thanks a lot.
Broadcasting from the Galesburg Radio Center downtown.
WGIL, Galesburg Radio 14.
Local news now.
The Knox County YMCA has been operating with an interim CEO since June of this year. Now, according to a press release, the Y has found a more permanent hire. Adam Sampson will be taking over as CEO November 26. Sampson is currently the district executive director for the YMCA in Scott County, Iowa. When you need to avoid a train in the western section of Galesburg, just think of State Representative Don Moffitt. The West Main Street overpass named after Moffitt was officially dedicated and open to traffic today and ended up being slightly behind, but still on its $16.1 million budget. Local, state, and federal officials in attendance all agreed that the construction was well past due, and they can't wait to see how the remaining two rail crossing grade separations will work out. I'm Alexis Corey. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Hurricane Sandy starting a trip up the eastern U.S. seaboard, maintaining most of its strength.
The peak winds between now and its ultimate U.S. landfall could be a little bit of weakening here over the next day or so, and then possibly some re-strengthening as it gets further north. But we think those changes in strength are going to be relatively modest.
NOAA's James Franklin, the storm causing at least 40 deaths in the Caribbean. A vehicle carrying Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, part of a multi-vehicle wreck in Las Vegas.
He was slightly injured. He experienced what they are calling rib and hip contusions, but he has been cleared for release by the doctors. We are told that some of the members of the security detail from the U.S. Capitol Police who drive him around sustained some minor injuries.
Fox Radio's Chad Pergram. Reid was wearing his seatbelt. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Constantly reaching for the remote, not to channel surf, but to turn the volume up and up and up. This is one of the most common signs of hearing loss. You should consider a Starkey hearing aid. The improved digital technology allows you to program settings to make listening easier, no matter where you are. The wireless technology allows your hearing aid to automatically adjust to your TV, phone, and iPod, so you aren't constantly turning the volume up. Call the Knox County Hearing Center for a free hearing evaluation. Knox County Hearing Center on Henderson Street, behind Lim's Ice Cream.
It happens.
And it can be anything unexpected.
It's Patsy and Michelle from Bates Collision Center. When it happens, it's our hope at Bates that we can make it as easy on you as possible.
Remember, Bates is here to make it better.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL. The Handyman Show with Glenn Hagee, Saturday mornings at 9 on Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Halftime here at Illinois Wesleyan University. Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you. Silver Streaks trailing Normal U-High 6-0. Turnovers have been a huge part of this first half. Silver Streaks turned it over on their third play from scrimmage of the game with a fumble that allowed U-High to take over from the Galesburg 32-yard line. And two plays later, they ran it in for the only touchdown and the only score of this first half. At 9:49 to go in the first quarter, it was 6-0, and it is still 6-0 as we come to the end of halftime. The Silver Streaks had a field goal attempt that ended up being short and wide left. That was their best scoring opportunity. But as far as the turnovers go, Galesburg has fumbled twice, losing them both. U-High has thrown two interceptions and has fumbled the ball. And two of those those turnovers came on U-High's last three possessions of the first half. So the Silver Streaks, I think, have to be happy, not at being behind, but at being down only by six through the first two quarters. And assistant coach Jay Barshinger is making his way over and thought we were going to get a word with Jim Lee, and now it looks like maybe not. As the coaching staff heading over, here's Jim with head coach Jim Doherty.
Okay, Coach, mood in the locker room at halftime. The game's there for the taking, I guess.
Oh, we're good. You know, we just got to execute in, you know, at certain times, but I think our kids are playing hard, and we just have one, you know, we got a second half there.
They seem to really have a nose for the ball tonight. They've got to feel like they can play with these guys, no question.
Oh, I mean, there's no question about that. We got to move the ball offensively, and it's a game of field position. And we just have to finish drives.
Good luck, Coach.
You know, thank you.
As always, our thanks to Tim Doherty for giving us some time here at halftime and after the game as well. First half statistics. U-High has run the ball 19 times for 133 yards. The only touchdown by Arian Werthman, the quarterback. A 15-yard touchdown run. Again, on the second play from scrimmage for the Pioneers, Werthman 2-for-4 passing. The two incompletions are interceptions by Ben Holloway. He does have 21 yards passing, both receptions by Joe Johnson. For the Silver Streaks, only 73 yards on the ground and 27 first-half carries. And Peyton Isaacson threw the ball just one time for an incompletion. Trevon Diggins, the leading rusher, 14 carries for 58 yards. Peyton Isaacson has a couple of runs for 14 yards, one of those minus one because he took a knee for the last play of the first half. Otherwise, J.J. Range, Ben Holloway, and Christian Powers have combined for just one positive yard rushing tonight on 11 carries among those three. Time of possession strongly in favor of the Silver Streaks. They've had the ball 14 minutes and 18 seconds of the first two quarters, and we are ready to kick the second half underway. A tremendous kick by Drake Sykes sends Sengsay all the way back, halfway deep into the end zone, and U-High has no chance to return the opening kickoff of the second half, and they will have the ball at their own 20-yard line.
Again, when you look at U-High's possessions, again, their first just a two-play scoring drive that led to the touchdown. They had the ball only 28 seconds. Their second possession was a six-play drive that ended in a punt. And their last three possessions of the first half, interception, interception, fumble. So the Silver Streaks have certainly gotten some breaks tonight. They also got a big defensive penalty by U-High that gave Galesburg a first down. But then they turned around and fumbled the ball on the very next play. Here's Werthmann tucking it in on the first play from scrimmage. Gets a little hole across the left side, dives forward close to the 30. And on the first play of the third quarter, he's going to be close to a first down on the first carry of the second half.
It'll be interesting to see if U-High opens up their offense a little bit more. You know, they've had a couple of passes picked off, but they usually throw 15 to 20 times a ball game.
Sure.
And haven't seen all that much of the passing attack yet tonight, but when you got a runner like Werthmann, you like to utilize that too.
Gained 10 on first down, swing pass to the near side, good block, and then Tyson Parks comes out of the backside of it to help stop the play after the complete pass. Went to Malik Wildermuth up to the 37-yard line, so a gain of 7. And two quick pass plays, or two quick plays, have gained 17 yards here to open the second half.
And those are the safe passes, a little short ones, screen pass for a completion and get your offense moving a little bit.
On second and three, handoff to the right side. This is Singsay trying to get to the outside. He breaks free, and Trevon Diggins wraps him up in Galesburg territory, but he gets all the way to the Streaks' 42-yard line.
So good balance now for U-High. They've used three different players on three different plays to move it down into the Streaks' territory at the 42.
So a gain of 21 on that play. Biggest run of the night for Brian Sengsay. He's got 63 yards rushing, and very quickly, U-High into Galesburg territory at the 42. Hand off to the right, Sengsay. Nice ankle tackle taken down
right
behind the line of scrimmage as Ryden got him, hung on, and he gains less than a yard on first down.
Heck of a job by Jacob again. He's come here to play tonight and able to just get his foot as he went by there.
Yep.
If he doesn't make that tackle, he probably picks up easily another 5 yards or maybe more than that. Ryden was up to the task there.
Just underway in the third quarter, U-High with a 6-0 lead, trying to add to it in Galesburg territory. Second and 10 from the 42. Out of the shotgun, Werthmann swings it to the right side, and that's a completion into the Galesburg secondary, down inside the 30-yard line for another first down on the pass completion. That one goes to Wildermuth again, down to the 28-yard line, a gain of 14 more.
Yeah, this is the bigger of the Wildermuth, 6'5 and 205. Tough one to bring down. O'Brien Allen gave him a shot, but he fell forward. Inside handoff. Looks like Hawkins on the tackle, but gain of 4 on the play for the Pioneers quarterback.
So Werthmann, the leading yards. That goes as a gain of 4, and very quickly, U-High comes to the line of scrimmage as they are continuing to move it downfield quickly inside the Galesburg 25 to the 24. Out of the shotgun, Werthmann. Short drop, pump fake, good protection. Going for the corner, wide open touchdown. Wildermuth again in the far corner. The pump fake was just enough to free up Wildermuth away from Tyson Parks and the 24-yard touchdown pass. And at the 9:49 mark again, they scored at the 9:49 mark of the first quarter. Now the 9:49 mark of the second quarter, and they brought that downfield 80 yards in a hurry.
How ironic is that to hit those exact same time marks? And they definitely sped up their offense. They always run out of that spread, but they had taken more time to huddle. This time they just got it and snapped it, and the Streaks defense was caught off guard.
The lineup to go for the extra point, as they did not line up to kick the ball after the first touchdown earlier in the game. Now they're going to line up with Luke Otto to go for the extra point. The kick is good, has distance, and it's 13-0 U-High. Again, just 2 minutes 11 seconds into the third quarter. Pioneers now lead by 2 touchdowns. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Hey, Illinois fans, it's time for Fighting Illini basketball. Under new head coach John Gross, Illinois enters an exciting season with 4 returning starters, 2 players with 1,000 career points, and 10 returning letter winners. Single game tickets go on sale Tuesday, October 23rd, but save more than 33% on season tickets, which are on sale now. Purchase yours today at FightingIllini.com or call 866-ILLINI1. Go Illini!
WGIL, proud to be a part of Galesburg.
Hi, this is Mandy Anderson from WGIL. The VFW in Monmouth presents Operation Military Stars on Sunday, November 11th from 7 to 11 p.m. The cost is $10 per couple or $5 a person. All soldiers and veterans are invited and food will be provided. Get more information at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Involved and invested in Galesburg. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
7 plays, 80 yards, 2 minutes, 11 seconds off the clock. A touchdown pass from Worthman to Wildermuth, Kane Wildermuth of 24 yards, and it's 13-0 U High after the extra point kick is good. So they have two touchdowns at the 9:49 mark of the odd-numbered quarters tonight, and the Silver Streaks now need to find some offense. Low line drive kick going to the near side of the field. The Silver Streaks are going to let it roll into the end zone. Trevon Diggins backed off as it was slowing down, but not enough to keep it out of the end zone. Galesburg has it at the 20-yard line. Keeping an eye on the Metamora Washington game because the winner of this one gets the winner of that one next week. And, Jim, at halftime, that was a tight one too.
And a surprising Washington lead of 7-0. That's the same Washington team that got their doors blown off by Metamora. And now they turn
about
around
50-0,
yeah,
I think, wasn't it?
And have a 7-0 lead. So go figure. You know, you knew Washington was a good program, but how do you recover that quickly?
All right, first offensive possession of the second half for Galesburg, and Trevon gets met at the 15-yard line and just absolutely stuffed. Bursting through the defensive line for U High came Carson Schumacher, and that goes as a loss of 3, and it's lucky it's only 3.
Trevon no more than had that ball given to him, and he got a facial from Carson that time. And Silver Streaks seeing a U High team that grabbed all the momentum with that quick move down the field to get their second touchdown and take the 13-0 lead. This is a critical point of the game. Galesburg needs to respond here and do it pretty quickly.
Ben Holloway in motion backs up to line up as a running back spot. He takes the handoff, and he runs into a wall at the 15-yard line, and he may have lost another yard. And very quickly, the Streaks facing 3rd and 14. They were 2 for 7 on third downs in the first half. So 3rd and 16 upcoming here. It's been all on the ground for Galesburg tonight. Only 2 pass attempts. One was negated by a penalty. The other one was incomplete. Holloway, 7 carries for -2 tonight. He has had a hard time finding any room to run. And on a pass down, Holloway and Anderson line up to the near side. And J.J. Raines, or rather Michael Moss, to the far side. Back to pass, swing pass to Trevon Diggins. Short of the 20-yard line, and he can't come up with the grab. Falls incomplete. And 3rd and 16, and more pressure on Drake Sykes. He's going to have to get another big one off here.
Got a little wind at his back this time around, so that'll help. I was down on the field there at halftime waiting on Coach Doherty and was watching Tanner Laird. They were working with him on his field goals, and he struck one or two balls pretty well, but just wasn't hitting it as consistently strong as we've seen. Seemed to be bothered a little bit by that crosswind, and Jay Barshinger and the coaching staff telling him to aim for the right side of the upright.
Drake doesn't get into this one. Then it takes a Galesburg bounce into the hands of Johnson back to the 45-yard line. Sidesteps one man. There's a couple of flags down as the Streaks surround Johnson right at the 50-yard line. And see if we're going to have an illegal block in the back against U High. Flags came flying from all directions. The backside from the side. They're going to confer with the referee. And the umpire pointing backwards toward U High's direction. That is going to be an illegal block in the back. So the ball will go backwards from the 50-yard line.
Well, it ends up working out pretty well. As you said, Sykes didn't hit it that well, but it took a Galesburg bounce, went across the 50. Runner kind of turned circles, didn't make much progress. Then the penalty flags. And so when this is all said and done, it's going to come out as a pretty good change of possession for us.
I think the clock kept running, too, because the officials were blowing the whistle. Just as I looked at the scoreboard to write down the time, I thought I saw the time moving right as I was getting a glance at it. So let's see if they're going to add time to the clock here in addition to counting off the penalty yardage against U High. The official still standing at the 50 conferring and trying to sort this all out. Doing some barking over at the U High coaching staff on the sideline are the officials. Now they're going to bring out a new ball to replace this one. Now the referee looking at the clock again as he comes walking over, looking up at the press box. There's the illegal block in the back. Now he's pointing to the scoreboard saying, looks like 8-1. They're going to put 8:10 back on the clock. No, 80 minutes and 10 seconds. We're going to be here for a while. Well, there we go, 8:01.
Say, I'm going to go get the hot dogs.
I think he still wants 8:10. They're showing 8:01, and he's still making hand signals. They're up here to the press box. So Juhai is going to take over with 8:11. I was off by a second. So, yeah, they let, that was 17 seconds run off the clock there. Juhai's going to have it at their own 39-yard line. So let's see if the Pioneers keep with the quick play offense. We saw the Silver Streaks struggle with that a little bit at times. Not exactly a no huddle. Hand off to the right side, Johnson. Gain of a yard up to the 40. Looked like Werthmann slipped right as he handed it off to Johnson, who picks up one.
Jacob Ryden there again for the Silver Streaks.
Johnson hasn't carried the ball a whole lot tonight. He does have a couple of receptions. There's three carries for 12 yards tonight. Sengsay has done more of the damage, along with Werthmann, who now swing pass to the backside. It's picked off by Tyson Parks down the near sideline and hammered out of bounds at the 17-yard line. The intended receiver had his back turned, but Tyson Parks, out of the defensive back position, saw it coming and came right behind him and picked his pocket. Fourth turnover of the night for the Pioneers.
That was a big one. The Silver Streaks in business with that interception. It took Tyson a minute to get going. Once he intercepted that ball, you saw the sideline and thinking, take off, Tyson. And he nearly was able to take it to the house. Only the angle by the Pioneer players able to come over and stop him at the 17. But the Streaks in business with their best field position of the night.
7:38 to go, trying to make a winner of Roberta Thompson of Galesburg in the Liebers Boxcar Express Touchdown Contest. Galesburg shut out up to this point. Handoff goes to Diggins, getting to the outside to the 10-yard line, inside the 10 where he stopped there after a gain of 8 on a good play on first down. Good pickup.
They say there's no such thing as momentum, but you'll never convince me of that. The Streaks just feeling a whole new life when they came out onto that field offensively. You can see the line surge on the right side, breaking some opportunities for Diggins to get inside the 10, and the Streaks second and 2.
16 carries, 63 yards tonight for Trevon Diggins, second and 2. Hand off to Diggins again, trying to get to the outside, found a little bit of a hole, kept leaning forward after he was stopped low underneath the belt. And let's see if the lean is enough to get him a first down. It looks like he might be a yard short.
Yep, they won't even measure this, but looks like he's got to get it just inside the 7. And right now it's just outside the 7.
Is it about the 8? Bill Silver Streaks did not convert on their first third down here in the second half from the normal U-High 8-yard line, 2-down territory, 3rd and 1 for the Silver Streaks, trying to get on the scoreboard, down 13-0. Holloway in motion. They run left this time. A little bit of a hole for Diggins. Looks like he might have gotten another yard, and let's see where the spot is, if he gets the first down or not. The referee is looking at it. He looks like he wants to signal first down. No, you know what? They're going to spot it right at the 8. So that doesn't move anything at all. So no gain for Diggins on third down. Sure looked like he got a little something there. But they're going to say no gain. So 4th and 1 from the 8-yard line, and you hear the crowd come to life. Galesburg on the season, 44% on fourth downs tonight, 11 of 25. But they do have one conversion tonight on fourth down in the Streaks. Call a timeout with 5:55 to go in the third quarter, trailing 13-0.
Well, and this is where not having a true fullback really hurts us. Certainly this would be Jonathan Mixon territory if he were able to play. He's not.
And also the loss of two experienced offensive linemen before last week's game.
You bet. You can't forget about that, especially in these short yardage situations. Of course, Matt Kitch no longer with the team. He would have been an option here, and so now you're looking at either Diggins, the senior, or one of the sophomores, neither one of which have a whole lot of size. A little surprised. I thought we might go with quarterback sneak on third down. I guess that's more in vogue when you need a foot than a yard, though.
Right.
And the interior of this U-High line has been very stout here tonight. And we still got 5:55 to go in the third quarter. A lot of football to be played, but this may be that point where you look back and say, ball game if we don't make this first down right here.
And the Streaks have to get every bit of that yard that they are short here. Fourth and one. The nose of the football sitting right on the eight, and you hear the U-High crowd. That's the side of the football field we're on. You hear the Pioneers faithful come to life. Looking at the Galesburg crowd on the far sideline. A good crowd followed Galesburg here tonight, and they're making some noise over there as well. Here we go, out of the Streaks timeout. Isaacson with a quick snap to Diggins. A little bit of a hole across the right side, and it looks like he's forward to the five-yard line if what we're seeing up here is accurate, and if it is, that's plenty for the first down. The ball is sitting inside the six-yard line, so the Streaks do get enough, and they move the chains. Two for two on fourth downs tonight.
And they could just lay the chains down now. All you've got is the yard marker, four cracks at it from about the six-yard line.
This is where the Streaks were last week against Richwoods and couldn't get inside for the touchdown. Now first and goal from the six. Diggins trying to bounce to the outside, but he stopped and then tried to cut back to the middle, and that allowed the U-High defense to converge on top of him for no gain. Trevon's got to keep moving, Jim. You mentioned that earlier in the season. When he stops, he's got such great speed that he loses all of his advantage when he stops.
Yeah, and especially in a situation like this where he's really
he's the man,
and he's got to be a fullback in this situation. I know he's not a fullback, but with what we have left to offer on offense, he's got to be that guy that keeps the legs driving. You have to kind of take a different mental approach to it when you get the ball down here deep in your own.
And now he's going to split out wide to the left as a receiver. With Holloway in motion behind Isaacson, rolling out. Isaacson's going to tuck it in, but he stops short of the five-yard line. It's going to be third and goal from the six. Derek Brackett got on the back of Isaacson and just tried to push him forward, but the play was whistled dead before that. No gain on third down as the Streaks tried to mix it up a little bit there, especially running left. Everything they've been doing on this possession since the interception at the 17-yard line has been right, right, right. That time they actually tried to go left. But still no gain. Third and goal from the six.
Yeah, we said it at the outset of the broadcast tonight. This Silver Streaks team pretty challenged offensively. Not a whole lot of options out there because of attrition this year. And we'll see if we can come up with something here to scare up 5 yards in the next two plays.
The wingback Holloway in motion. Back to pass. Flag down on the far side of the field. The play is blown dead. We're going to have a false start against Galesburg, I believe. So it's going to come back 5 yards. It'll be third and goal from the 11. Officials talk it over. The referee signals false start.
Yeah, if it wasn't passing territory on third down at the 5, it certainly is now on third down at the 11.
The 11, yep. Marked. Only the fifth penalty of the night against Galesburg, but this is a big 5 yards that they get here. So the situation more so than the amount of yardage, any yardage when you're down this deep in territory, is a painful step backward. Third and goal from the 11 now. Exactly 4 minutes to go. Still in the third quarter. Galesburg down 13-0. Isaacson back to pass. Pressure from the backside. Gets the pass away. It's underthrown a little bit and incomplete. Holloway thought he had the reception, but the ball, it would have been picking it up off his shoe tops. And the officials were standing right there saying, nope, there was contact with the ground. It's incomplete, and here comes fourth down.
And Holloway argued a little bit.
He did.
Must have been convinced that maybe he got his hands underneath that, but it looked to me like it touched ground from the angle that we had. Nice effort by Holloway, and a good job by Isaacson to get the pass off. He was getting a lot of heat from the backside. If he'd have held on to that another second, he would have gotten blasted for a big loss. So now we got fourth down, a goal from the 11. Really no sense kicking a field goal. You've got to get 6 points here, trailing 13-0.
Fourth and goal from the 11 after the interception put this drive at the 17. And now the Streaks have used their second timeout. They have used two timeouts here in the third quarter with 3:54 still to go, and we'll see if that doesn't come into play later on in the game. Again, our thanks to one of our sponsors here on WGIL, Galesburg Nissan, for providing our transportation to the Bloomington Normal area tonight. Even though we're playing a normal school, we are in Bloomington at Illinois Wesleyan University. And it's been a terrific ride over here in the Nissan Murano, Jim.
It sure has, and I got the honor of driving it. I may have to fight you for it going back tonight. But, yeah, you know, another thing, I love the wide body of the Murano. It's not just the ride and the performance, but there's just so much room in the passenger seats It's just very comfortable. You know, you're sitting a little bit above, but you don't feel like you're in a big truck at all. It's just a very, very nice vehicle. Got all the options. And silver? I mean, I didn't get the exact color, but it was gray silver in color, and nice looking unit. And of course, if you go to Galesburg Nissan, they always have the opportunity to buy the used vehicles. And this one, I believe, had 14,000 miles on it. Great price. I believe it was showing 25,000 plus on that one tonight. So Galesburg Nissan supplying vehicles to all of our road games for football and basketball, both boys and girls hoops coming up in the winter.
Back-to-back timeouts, as Yuhai calls a defensive timeout now. So the Streaks have used two of their timeouts on this offensive possession after the Tyson Parks interception gave the Streaks the ball at the Yuhai 17-yard line. It's 13-0 Pioneers. They scored at the 9:49 mark. Just underway in the third quarter, they marched the ball downfield 80 yards in just six plays. Took only 2 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock. After a Galesburg turnover on the third play of the game gave the Yuhai Pioneers the ball at the Streaks 32-yard line. They took only two plays to get the ball into the end zone there. So two quick strikes in the first and third quarters is all we have for either side here in the game to go along with six turnovers, four by the Pioneers, three interceptions and a fumble, and two fumbles given up by the Silver Streaks. So this game's featured a lot. What it hasn't featured a lot of is scoring, and that's what Galesburg needs here, down two touchdowns. With just under 4 minutes to play in the third quarter, ball resting at the Yuhai 11-yard line on fourth and goal coming up.
It was kind of ground to a halt here with timeouts by the teams as we come up with what may be the biggest play of the game now on fourth down, and the Yuhai fans, as you probably hear, whooping it up here trying to get another defensive stop.
Christian Powers in the backfield, back to pass. Isaacson is sacked. The pressure came in from the right side of the Yuhai defensive line, and this play ends on downs. Looks like it was Wildermuth coming out of the defensive end position. And the Streaks for the first time tonight do not convert on fourth down. They give it up to the Pioneers, who will have it at their own 17-yard line.
Yeah, Peyton Isaacson had a brief window. He looked at the end zone, had maybe a second before he got clobbered. Didn't have much chance after that. And so if you didn't have a quick developing play there, it just wasn't going to happen. And not able to hold off the big lineman that time for the Pioneers.
From the Pioneer 18-yard line, 3:49 to go in the third quarter. Out of the shotgun, handoff goes right, and a big defensive hit by Jacob Ryden just runs over his man. And Manny Valdez falling on top of him now is going to get a personal foul called as Valdez was wrestling the running back down after the handoff went. I think it was to Sing Say. Ryden had made the big hit. Valdez was down underneath on the bottom, and then it looked like Manny kind of rolled on top of him and wouldn't let him up. The flag came in immediately. And I've got to believe this one's going against Valdez. Unless he was initiated somehow. Oh, unsportsmanlike conduct against the Silver Streaks. Unsportsmanlike conduct against Yuhai. So they are going to say that it was equal on both sides. And that's a break for the Silver Streaks after that big stop by Jacob Ryden.
On that particular call, the officials not real sure who instigated, but break for us, you're right, Brad, to not get that 15-yard penalty. And Jacob Ryden has been the defensive star here tonight. He has been very physical in a night where we've needed that, and he's come up big time and again.
So it goes as a yard. Second and nine now from the 19-yard line. Out of the shotgun with Sengsei lined up just to the left of the quarterback, Werthmann. Good snap. Hands off to Sengsei. Little hesitation drive short of the hole. He gets up to the 25-yard line before he stopped there by a pile of white and black jerseys equally.
News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. Hurricane Sandy is moving slowly and slowly weakening, but don't let that fool you.
It's not going to be a typical hurricane, and it's going to be strengthening as it makes landfall. So we're going to be talking about major problems here.
Fox meteorologist Rick Reichmuth, Sandy expected to join forces with other storm fronts and possibly make landfall early Tuesday south of New York City, where Mayor Michael Bloomberg says no matter how or where it comes ashore, the city will likely feel its effects.
In the form of high tides, high winds, and heavy rainfall lasting for several days.
Right now, Sandy is centered about 400 miles south-southeast of Charleston. Top sustained winds 75 miles per hour, but tropical storm force winds extend outward up to 275 miles. Parts of the Carolinas bracing for tropical storm conditions tomorrow. The White House monitoring storm prep along the East Coast. Already one campaign rally canceled amid Romney events Sunday in Virginia Beach. Right now, he's in Ohio.
We American people have clear eyes, full hearts. We can't lose. We're taking back America.
Also telling voters earlier in Iowa that the last 4 years have fallen far short of the president's promises in the last campaign. Vice President Joe Biden in Wisconsin says it's Republicans who can't run on their record. And he's urging voters not to believe Romney's promises.
Malarkey. It's a bunch of malarkey, as we Irish say.
Especially, Biden says, about bringing jobs back to America. A CIA spokeswoman rejecting any suggestion that requests for help in Benghazi on the night of the consulate attacks were denied by the CIA chain of command. Sources telling Fox News that's exactly what happened, and that CIA operators on the ground were twice told to stand down when they wanted to go from the CIA annex to the consulate compound to help. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Fox News on your time.
The Fox News iPad app is ready to go with all the great features from FoxNews.com and our iPhone app optimized specifically for your iPad. Watch the latest clips from your favorite Fox News shows. Personalize the app by creating your own newscast using the video playlist. Listen to Fox News Radio live. Get local weather forecasts. And it's all free. Go to FoxNews2Go.mobi. That's FoxNews2Go.mobi.
Some people would call him a loser. He ran for state office. He was beaten. He started a business. He failed. He ran for Congress. He lost. He was nominated for vice president. He lost again. But he knew only those who never tried are the real losers. And Abraham Lincoln was no loser. Persistence. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Two young children murdered in New York City, and the suspect is the nanny.
A mother returning home to a horrifying scene on Manhattan's Upper West Side. Marina Krim, who'd just come home with her three-year-old daughter, finding
her six-year-old daughter and her two-year-old son stabbed to death in the tub.
New York City Police Commissioner Ray Kelly saying the children's nanny, the suspect, lay injured nearby with apparent self-inflicted stab wounds. The 50-year-old Yoslin Ortega in critical but stable condition at an area hospital. Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio.
Police in suburban L.A. now have a suspect in custody for the shootings at a home and a business that left three people dead and two wounded earlier this week. Still no word on a motive or the suspect's identity. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid released from the hospital less than 3 hours after the car he was riding in was apparently rear-ended during a six-vehicle chain reaction crash on a Vegas freeway. His office says the 72-year-old Reid has rib and hip contusions. Italy's ex-leader slapped with prison time for tax fraud.
A judge in Milan sentencing former Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi to 4 years for tax fraud. But the statute of limitations is about to expire, and no verdict is definitive without an appeal, so it is unlikely he will serve time. This is the first conviction for the 76-year-old media billionaire, despite many trips to court, including an ongoing trial on charges he paid for sex with an underage prostitute. Berlusconi argues all the charges are politically motivated. The judge also ruled he could not hold office for 3 years. But just 2 days ago, he retired from politics. In Rome, Courtney Walsh, Fox News Radio.
The hockey season now canceled through the end of November as a labor dispute between the league and the players continues. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza. I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
More than 5 million Americans have a heart condition known as atrial fibrillation, or AFib. It affects both men and women and is more common in older people. I'm State Representative Patty Bellock. Women in Government urges you to learn the warning signs of AFib, which include an irregular heartbeat that can lead to such complications as dementia, heart failure, stroke, or even death. Other signs include palpitations, shortness of breath, weakness, or difficulty exercising, chest pain, dizziness, or fainting and fatigue. 15% of all strokes in the U.S. are linked to AFib, and they are more severe than other strokes, with a 50% likelihood of death within 1 year. People who have AFib can live normal, active lives. For some, treatment can cure AFib and return the heart to its normal rhythm. Educate yourself today. To learn more about your risk factors and how AFib impacts you, visit womeningovernment.org. That's womeningovernment.org.
Colder months are soon approaching and snow and ice will cover our green grass. Hi, I'm Mark Craddy. I'm here to help Karen continue to serve our customers. Craddy Insurance, along with Rockford Mutual Insurance Company, are here to protect your home and car from winter mishaps. We are a family business here to help your family. We offer competitive rates through Rockford Mutual Insurance Company. Stop in and see us at 1197 North Henderson Street or give Karen or I a call for your free quote at 342-0071.
We apologize for experiencing technical difficulties with the Galesburg game, and we'll have it back on to you as soon as possible.
Get big savings at Menards with an 11% rebate on everything in the store. Save 11% on plumbing, electrical, hardware, and so much more. Enjoy all of the benefits of soft water with Morton Water Softening Salt. It's engineered to help your water softener run better and last up to 5 years longer. Right now, all Morton Water Softening Salts are 11% off after rebate. Hurry, sale ends Saturday, October 27th.
Save big money at Menards.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
She's had people calling, yelling at her and everything.
Through three quarters, Silver Streaks now down 20 to nothing. As we get ready to start the fourth quarter, Galesburg facing a second and a mile from inside their own 6-yard line. They have to get just across the 22-yard line, and another flag comes down for the Silver Streaks as this is really disintegrating quickly. Down 20 to nothing is going to be another false start, I'm sure, against the Silver Streaks. That's going to move them back another 3 yards. Oh. So it's going to be back at the 3 now. Silver Streaks are going to be facing 2nd and 30.
Wow, so after the touchdown surrendered, what, 3 penalties and a sack? And we are going the wrong way, down 20 to nothing.
Out of their own end zone. Hand off to Trevon Diggins, and I don't know, did he even get out of the end zone? I'm not sure he did. Are they going to give him forward progress across the goal line? It looks like they are, and that is going to be a real gift. They were that close to a safety. They're going to be at about the half-yard line after a loss of 2. Think this U-High defense isn't charged up now?
Yeah, the Streaks are so intimidated. We're not firing off the ball. There's no confidence out there at all, whether we're trying to throw it or run it at this point. And this season is going down pretty quickly here unless we get a miracle.
The ball inside the 1-yard line, and Isaacson just has to take it and dive forward on a sneak, and it looks like he's going to get up to about the 4-yard line, so he'll pick up 3. And Drake Sykes is going to be standing at the back of the end zone to try to punt this one away, and this is going to have to be the punt of his life. And he's had some great ones this year, make no doubt about it, but this is going to be the toughest one he's faced all year, just underway in the fourth quarter, down 20 to nothing and standing at the back of his own end zone.
And kicking into a breeze. It's picked up a little bit, I think, as the evening has gone along. Those flags atop the top of the goalposts, so whipping pretty good. Oh, and he shanks it. Hits at the 20-yard line.
And then rolls forward to the 29, where Johnson picks it up for U-High, and then he's wrapped up by Holloway just across the 25 to the 24. So if U-High didn't have momentum and great field position before, they've really got it now. At the Silver Streaks, 24-yard line with 10:40 to go in the game.
And, you know, it's been interesting because our kicking has been so solid
all year.
And tonight, it's from both ends, it's just not been. Tanner Laird missed a field goal badly from 37 yards in the first half. And Drake Sykes has hit a couple of uncharacteristically poor punts in this one as well.
So from the 23-yard line is where the Pioneers start this possession. Running backs to each side of the quarterback, Arian Werthmann, just a sophomore. He hands off to Johnson, who spins backwards, and he's cutting back to the near side of the field, breaking some tackles inside the 20-yard line before finally a run out of bounds at about the 19.
And another penalty flag on the field. We have had our share of those this half against both teams.
U-High has turned the ball over 4 times tonight, and the Silver Streaks have been able to make nothing out of it. And now the penalties racking up here in the second half. A face mask against the Silver Streaks at the end of the play. Just a 5-yard variety. So with the ball sitting at the 19-yard line, they're going to tack on 5 more. That'll take it down close to a first down.
Metamora's got on top of Washington 14-13 with 7 minutes to play. Winner of that one meets the winner of this one, which increasingly looking like it'll be the U-High Pioneers. 10:32 to play as they deepen Silver Streaks territory again here. Another delay on the field after this penalty.
You're going to spot it just short of the 13-yard line, and now they're going to give him a first down. So that's what the delay was there. It was very close to a first down anyway after the penalty. So first and 10 from the Galesburg 13-yard line now with 10:32 to go in the fourth quarter. Same formation for the Pioneers. 2 wideouts to the left, 1 to the right. Running backs lined up to each side of Werthmann, who tucks it in, running to the near side. Bowls over a couple of defenders inside the 10 down to the 8-yard line. That Werthmann is going to be a handful. He's just a sophomore. What's he listed at? 5'10", 195? Imagine
right.
What he's going to be like when he's a senior.
Yeah, grows a little more, puts on a little more time in the weight room, and, yeah, he'll be a one-man wrecking crew just snapping the ball and get out of the way. Hawkins over there on the tackle, and Tyson Parks also with an assist on the tackle for the Silver Streaks.
It's 109 yards rushing on 16 carries tonight. Handoff up the middle, big hole for Johnson, dives for the goal line. And it looks like the knee came down just at the 1. So call it a gain of 7. And it'll be down to the Galesburg 1. First and goal for the Pioneers, already leading 20 to nothing. And if there's any doubt about the outcome at this point, they're about to try to solidify it as much as can be. They're actually going to spot it at the 2.
Second half, and they're struggling right now. Actually, at the 2-yard line now, looks like you
All right, Werthmann brings a set. He's actually under center for about the first time all night. Drops back, hands off, big hole for Sing Se across the right side. That's a touchdown, and it's 26-0 now. Now, 2-yard touchdown run. Go ahead, Jim.
Yet to allow 30 points in a game this year, but that's the last of their scores at 26-0.
Just a four-play scoring drive, covers 23 yards. And they took only a minute 7 off the clock. Sing Se's first touchdown run of the night. He's up to 75 yards. They went for 2 on their first after their first touchdown earlier in the game. They have gone for extra point attempts since then. The snap is good. The kick is good. It's 27-0 Pioneers, 9:33 to go in the fourth quarter of this first Galesburg playoff game since 2002. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Another one.
Another what?
Every customer that's walked through those doors this morning has left smiling, even laughing.
I am good.
Michelle, XYZ.
Oh, no.
Uh-huh.
Bates Collision Center. We take the decision out of collision.
Galesburg High School Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. By Dickerson's Photography. Visit them online at dickersonphotography.com.
Proud to bring you Silver Streaks Football on WGIL. Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
Ed Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from Illinois Wesleyan University. Thanks for being with us for Silver Streaks playoff football tonight here on WGIL. The Normal U-High Pioneers really taking control of this game. A fourth quarter touchdown after Galesburg's offense went backwards on their last possession. Started at their own 22. They had a 5-yard penalty. They had a sack for a loss of 11 yards, a false start for -3, another loss of 2. Pinned them all the way back at the 1-yard line, and then a bad punt gave U-High possession at the Galesburg 23-yard line. It took the Pioneers only 4 plays and just over a minute to punch it in from there. And the 9-0 Pioneers now lead 27-0 with just over 9.5 minutes to play in the game. A high spinning kick sends Diggins back to the 4-yard line. Rather, that's Holloway. Tries to cut to the outside, now cuts backwards, and he stops short of the 20-yard line at the 17.
Well, the Pioneers can probably put in a few second stringers here if they want to now with that comfortable lead, 9:26 to go. Their starters have played with a lot of energy in this second half, and once they got that first score of the second half and got that lead built to 2 touchdowns, the only bright spot we had was the Tyson Parks interception, which set us up for what could have been a great closing score there to get us within 1, but we couldn't get it in from the 5 on a number of tries, and from that point on, it has been an absolute domination by the Pioneers.
Isaacson dives forward to the 20 for a gain of a couple on first down. And again, keeping in mind, it was only 13-0 at that point. If the Streaks can get it into the end zone, it's 13-6, 13-7. And we may be talking about something, a whole different ball game at this point, but instead they got nothing. Pioneers have scored another 2 since then and now lead by 4 touchdowns. Backing up, Trevon Diggins providing pass protection for Isaacson, who gets the pass away to the far side. Holloway breaks free out of a couple defenders up to the 50-yard line. Good catch by Holloway on the nice pass by Isaacson on a line drive right into the numbers, and then he split 2 defenders getting down low and then kept the knee from going down as he kind of scrambled forward for another 5 yards after that, and they're actually going to spot him down at the 48 for a gain of 28. First pass completion of the night for Isaacson.
Couldn't have executed that any better. Silver Streaks working toward the clock on the west end zone, 42 and counting.
First down from the 48, handoff goes left, and Holloway hit at the line of scrimmage, and he gets nothing out of that. Holloway has more yardage in one pass play than he has in 8 carries tonight, 8 for -3.
Yeah, just not big enough against this physical high front. And, you know, every game we would miss a player of Jonathan Mixon's caliber, but especially in one like this, he's the one player we have that could probably bang in there and soften up and get some yardage on the interior against Normal U-High because nobody else we have can.
Same play, sideline pass to O'Brien Allen this time, who goes with the soft hands, and he brings in the reception at the 31 right on the U-High sideline.
Second time we've seen O'Brien Allen out for a pass tonight. The other one, he made a terrific call way back early in the first quarter.
Gain of 22 down to the U-High 31-yard line. Under 8 minutes to go in the game. Streaks trying to make a winner of Jen Davis of Galesburg in the Lieber's Boxcar Express touchdown contest. Quick drop by Isaacson. Sideline pass, underthrown. Throws behind Will Anderson, who makes a dive backward for it. It falls incomplete. Clock stops, 7:56. So the Streaks looking to turn this into a passing game, extend the clock, draw it out.
Down on the field at halftime, and beautiful turf. I believe they said it was freshly installed last year, and it's in great shape. In fact, they say the second year on these turf fields is actually better than the first. It settles in, and it really is in great shape.
Another screen pass, or rather a fade pass to the far side up to the 10-yard line. Allen, the intended receiver, but that one's thrown a little too hard. And the U-High defender had better position on it. And it was everything Allen could do just to get in there and knock it loose. Falls incomplete, third and 10 coming up from the U-High 31.
Don't see too many guys that combine as a middle linebacker and a wide receiver, but that's about what O'Brien Allen is doing right now. He's such a good athlete that he's going to be worn out after this one, playing all those downs on defense and then running a lot of pass routes, and now they're going to split him far to the left side along with Trevon Diggins.
Two wideouts to each side as the Streaks try to open it up here late, down 27-0. Short drop, Isaacson with the pass to Anderson. Avoids a tackle inside the 20-yard line, dragged down by the ankles to the 18, and another first down for the Silver Streaks. Nice job by Anderson to sidestep the diving defender, trying to take him down after the pass completion. But it goes as a gain of 13 more. And a big third down conversion for the Streaks. Been looking for an update on the United Stark County game all night. We've got one now. Thank you, Nicole, back at the downtown studios. 27-14, Stark County in the fourth quarter. Hand off to Diggins, trying to get to the outside, and he dives forward, trying to get back to the line of scrimmage for a loss of a yard on first and 10 from the 31. As we approach the seven-minute mark of the fourth quarter.
Easily the best drive of the night sustained by the Silver Streaks, and most of that has come through the air here. U-High has taken a couple of their first-string defenders out, but for the most part, a lot of the guys we've seen all night still out there on the field.
Anderson, or rather Isaacson, 3 for 8, as he goes 4 for 9 now on a sideline route to O'Brien Allen, but a short gain as he gets forward to the 16-yard line. He'll pick up 3. 66 yards passing tonight now for Peyton Isaacson on 4 for 9. Anderson, Holloway, and O'Brien Allen, his receivers, and it brings up 3rd and 8.
Silver Streaks cheerleaders trying to do their best over there, running Silver Streaks flags in front of the crowd. Maybe that's just to keep warm at this point.
Diggins in motion behind Isaacson. Fake handoff under pressure. Gets away from the defender. Now rolls upfield inside the 10-yard line. Steps out of bounds, but there's a flag down at the 15-yard line. He's short of the first down. He had to get to the 8. Stepped out of bounds at about the 10. And let's see what the flag is in the backfield. Looks like an illegal shift against Galesburg. And that'll negate the fine running play by Peyton Isaacson. And it is an illegal shift, and we'll move it back 5 yards. So instead of 3rd and 8, it'll be 3rd and 13.
Yeah, and as we look towards next year, I think one of the things we've got to do is cut down on the penalties. We've just had too many of those at inopportune times, especially when you're a team that doesn't score a lot anyway. It can really, really kill your function. And we're challenged enough when we're in first down and 10, let alone when we go 15, 20 yards to have to get. Becomes almost impossible for us. And
Streaks have been flagged 10 times tonight for 64 yards. Yeah, can't do that in a playoff game.
Yeah. In most any game. Fortunately, U-High's turned it over 4 times. They're score would be more lopsided than it is.
27-0 Pioneer streaks on 3rd and 13. Peyton with a deep drop and a little screen pass across the middle, but Jiggins with a catch is taken down immediately.
Just got
gains nothing on that as Jeff Larson took him down immediately after the catch, and they're actually going to lose a couple more yards on the play.
Yeah, Larson erased him and then got up and gave that safe signal. And yep, wiped him out. 6'1", 205-pound linebacker, a senior Larson. Knows that every game could be his last, and so he's going to give it his all on every play and has here tonight.
Under 5.5 minutes to play in the ball game now. Streaks now facing 4th and 15. The biggest fourth down of the night was one that they did not convert, back on 4th and goal from the 11. Uhigh ended up turning that into points. Back to pass. Isaacson looks toward the near sideline. Diggins in double coverage. It's intercepted, and a flag goes down as it's Wildermuth. Malik Wildermuth this time, and let's see what the flag is. I'm not so sure we don't have offensive pass interference on Trevon Diggins here.
Yeah, I don't see how. The ball was underthrown enough. It really didn't even matter.
No,
both of those players were well beyond the throw of the ball.
I think he just pointed Uhigh's direction. So it is pass interference against the Pioneers. Well, it looked to me like Diggins was trying to fend him off and get position, so the official saw it a different way. He saw the Uhigh defender getting all over Diggins, and Trevon was trying to fight him off. So the pass interference penalty gives the Streaks new life. On 4th and 15, back at the Uhigh 23-yard line, that'll give him a first down.
Yeah, I'll take it. That sure wasn't one I expected to get there, though, especially with the ball being underthrown the way it was. I don't think Trevon was going to have much of a chance to get to it anyway, but we'll take anything we can get right now, trying to get some points on the board here with 5:10 and clock running again to go in the fourth quarter.
So that'll take it down to the 12-yard line, half the distance to the goal. Back under center, Isaacson. Go a little more conservative with a handoff to Diggins. Gets a little bit of a hole across the left side to the 10-yard line, a gain of a couple, and then stopped there and pushed backwards. Clock rolling under 4:45 to play in the game now. 27-0 Pioneers.
Again, a reminder, Fighting Illini football tomorrow as
yep.
they try and get a homecoming win. 10:30 our broadcast, 11 o'clock kickoff from Champaign here on Galesburg Radio 14.
From the 8-yard line, big hole right side. Diggins back to the middle. Touchdown. Got a hole across the right side. Diggins finally able to use some of that speed. He got a little bit free in the linebacker core and then cut back to the middle of the field. And the Streaks are on the board with 4:19 to go in the game. And it makes a winner of Jen Davis of Galesburg at the Liebers Boxcar Express touchdown contest.
It's kind of interesting. He crashed into the end zone and was 3 or 4 yards deep. I don't think any of the officials ever raised their arms. I think they all just knew that everybody knew it was a touchdown. Usually you'll see somebody give that indication, but I don't think any of them ever did that time.
Trevon's 23rd carry of the night for 75 yards, his fourth rushing touchdown of the season. Ends a long scoring drive that started for Galesburg at the 9:33 mark. Back at their own 18-yard line, they go for two. Another hole for Trevon. Tries to cut back to the middle after the initial stop. And he'll come up short with 4:19 to go in the game. It's 27-6, Uhigh. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Turns out saying things like, wouldn't it be great if, and remember when we were able to, were just a big waste of time. See, our bodies were having trouble keeping up with our spirits, so we thought we would have to give up the things we enjoyed. That was until we discovered Handy Van. Now we're saying things like, let's do lunch.
Your life may be different because of a temporary or permanent disability, but that certainly shouldn't hold you back. Allow us to take you and your friends to and from your leisurely lunch. Stop by our office in the community center for details. Handy Van, helping you live independently.
Check out a full album of pictures from the West Main Street Overpass dedication by going to our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com and search for WGIL.
Brad Benowitz, Jim Lee with you from Illinois Wesleyan University. For the Silver Streaks trail 27-6 with 4:19 to go in this playoff game. Streaks will tee it up. It was a scoring drive, 12 plays. It covered 82 yards. Took Galesburg 5 minutes and 14 seconds off the clock. So even though Uhigh doesn't have the pride of saying that they have a shutout in the game. They do force Galesburg to take a lot of time off the clock. And Galesburg will go for the onside kick here, trying to get it back quickly. Laird's kick takes a bounce short of the 50-yard line, and the hands team right there up front, and a late flag comes flying in as Galesburg runs over Jeff Larson. Hands team right up front. It was into the numbers of McLean Engel, who came up with the clean onside kick, and then Galesburg's going to get called for unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
Yep, Jacob Ryden going to pick that one up as he bowled over the guy 5 yards away from the ball. And that was right in front of God and man that time. I mean, it was right in front of the U-High bench, in front of all the officials. And
the U-High crowd definitely saw it too.
Yeah, and Jacob, who's played a really good game tonight defensively, got a little carried away on that one and deserved that penalty.
So it'll go for 15 yards, and that'll put U-High at the Galesburg 35-yard line. Likely they'll go very conservative here, leading 27-6 with 4:19 to go in the game. They just need to take time off the clock now and go home with a playoff victory. Well, I certainly want to wish you, my good friend, a happy birthday from earlier in the week. I know this isn't the way you would want to finish your birthday week necessarily, but... Hope it was a good one. I know it was a big day.
Yeah, well,
I won't go any farther than that. I know it was one of those monumental kind of birthdays. I'll leave it at that.
Well, I ate a lot of cake. Let's put it that way. Tom Meredith and I were eating cake for 2 days. Had it for breakfast and everything else.
And certainly a happy birthday to Tom too, as you both share that day.
Tom is out to. Sending us some scores from some of those other games that we're giving you scores from tonight. So, yeah, happy birthday to him as well.
It was always a big couple days around the radio station there for a while. Ray Smith, who worked at the radio station years ago, I think his birthday was October 21st. Chuck O'Brien, who worked at the radio station, his was the 21st, I think, also. And then you and Tom on the 22nd. Just that kind of month.
It is. Well, I got my dad's the 19th, my granddaughter's the 18th, so.
Wow, big in the family, too.
Yeah, you don't try and diet that week because there's just too much cake to be had.
U-High just going to run all the time possible off of the play clock here, which there is no play clock itself in terms of being on the field, but the officials still count it. And they take as much time as they possibly can to take a lot of time off here. Again, they're just going to go conservative. They just need to run time. Run this one all the way down as Johnson gets the handoff, and he's going to end up with a first down inside the 25 to about the 21-yard line. That'll go as a gain.
If we don't tackle, they'll be happy to take it into the end zone, though.
Yep.
Johnson was not running tame that time at all. He was running hard.
Give it a gain of 10, actually, down to the 22. 8 carries for 35 yards tonight for Joe Johnson, but his impact was early on in the game with a couple of big pass plays. The first one on the very first offensive play of the game for U-High that took them from the 32 of the Silver Streaks down to the 15. And then the very next play, Arian Werthman ran it in for the touchdown. High snap, gets the handoff away. Johnson bouncing off some men right up the middle down to the 15-yard line. He'll pick up 7 more. And it'll be 2nd and 3 upcoming. That cake looked good. I was in the studio, or I was in the station later on in the day. What, there was a picture from your childhood it looked like. You were just a little guy in that picture.
Well, I had one small picture on the desk, but the other one was from the college days. Back in the days where we used to wear half shirts. Thankfully, I retired that one. And I thank my wife for digging that one out and sticking it on a cake for everybody to see.
Out of the shotgun, Werthman with a wide open set here. They're going to go with a handoff up the middle. Johnson just got tripped up. He saw some room to run, and he just got tripped up, I think, by his center as their feet got tangled up at the 15-yard line down to the 13. At a final score in 1A, Stark County defeats United 28-14. So a rematch of last week's game, and the Rebels win it again. Johnson gains 2. It brings up 3rd and 3.
I don't get many predictions right, but I hit that one on the head.
Score and everything?
Yeah.
Exact score?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Because Eric Hansen and I were for the FM 95 Hometown Heroes at United yesterday. We were coming back. He said, what do you think? I said, my guess is they'll play him closer, but probably same result, only maybe 28-14. So
how about that?
You can document that one.
Here's a little run play right up the middle for a first down up to the 10-yard line. The Pioneers will have first and goal with a minute 19 to go in the game, and U High leading 27-6. Galesburg calls a defensive timeout, I believe. Nope, he's just signaling first down. I thought he was signaling a timeout Galesburg's direction, but he was just pointing to the first down. So that's a relief. No sense in calling a timeout here.
Well, and, you know, here again, as we've talked in this one, 27-6, and really U High's been the dominant team. There's no doubt about that. But for if we could have just gotten five more yards there and made it 13-6 or 7 in that third quarter,
yeah,
it would have been a whole lot different as far as the final score anyway, and it just would have given us such a big lift, but we couldn't do it.
Right up the middle, Johnson runs into the line and then bounces to the outside, and then I think the ball is stripped out of his hands as he's brought down at the one-yard line, and Galesburg recovers. Fifth turnover of the night for the Pioneers, and if you'd have told me that going into tonight, Jim, I'd have felt great about our chances, but the Streaks just haven't able to turn it into anything positive offensively. Here they turn it over at the one-yard line.
Yeah, and he was just ready to go in the end zone and got it stripped from his arm just before he crossed the goal line. So we avoided another score. But, no, if U High, whoever they play, Washington, Nevada, more or less next week, if they turn it over five times, they will get their doors blown off. So they're going to have to shore that up before next week.
Well, the Streaks have been in this position already once tonight, and that one did not end well. With 46 seconds to go in the game, they take over, down three touchdowns at their own one. And Isaacson's just going to keep it, try a little sneak up the middle, get him away from the goal line, and certainly you're not out to do anything fancy here, down three touchdowns with now under 30 seconds to go in the game. It'll be second and nine. Been a fun season, Jim. You'd have told me going in that the Streaks would make the playoffs, coming off a 1-8 season. How could you not be happy with that?
Well,
that won't be good enough for the coaching staff or for the players either, but big picture, that's pretty impressive.
And just unfortunate that we couldn't be at full strength.
That's right.
You know, with a couple of the suspensions down the end, of course, losing Jonathan Mixon just a little over halfway through the season, our key component on offense. So, I think given what we were dealing with and the schedule that we had down to the end of this season with Rock Island, Alleman, and Richwoods in three of the final 4 weeks, all powerhouses, and then to run into an undefeated team in the playoffs, did the best we could, and hopefully we've laid a foundation for upcoming seasons here as the Streaks' first playoff appearance in 10 years ends in a 27-6 loss to Normal U-High.
Take a timeout. The postgame show is coming up. Our final words with Streaks head coach Tim Doherty. And final days, auto body crunch time player of the game for the football season. Final statistics all still to come on the postgame show up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
The new CBO from McDonald's, a delectable convergence of three
tremendous
delicious toppings on the Angus third pounder and premium chicken sandwiches. So what are these three
tremendous
toppings? The C is for cheddar, creamy white. B, bacon, hickory smoked. And O, onions, caramelized. Put all three.
Tremendous!
Please stop that.
Okay.
Put all three together, and there's only one word to describe it.
Tasty.
The new CBO sandwiches. The simple joy of a tremendous new taste. Limited time only at participating McDonald's.
Silver Streaks football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL is brought to you in part by OSF St. Mary Medical Center. Altogether better. Craddy Insurance. One office for all your insurance needs. McDonald's. I'm loving it. Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. Bates Collision Center in Galesburg. We take the decision out of collision. Galesburg Nissan, now located at 2080 North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee. Proud to bring you Silver Streaks football on WGIL.
For the baseball enthusiast who appreciates the process of breaking in a genuine leather Rawlings glove. For the football fanatic that understands the importance of having an authentic Riddell helmet between you and the other guy. And for the volleyball player who will only practice with a Wilson ball because she insists it sounds different, louder, when she spikes it on her opponent. Breedlove Sporting Goods in downtown Kewaunee has brands that true athletes insist on for a reason. Find them all under one roof at Breedlove's in downtown Kewaunee.
WGIL is proud to be a part of our community.
Hi,
Hi, I'm Chris LeGros from WGIL. The Gilson Haunted School will hold a special time for little kids, a lights-on afternoon without the scares, but with lots of candy and games. It's Sunday the 28th from 1 to 4 p.m. Wear a costume and bring $2 for admission. And get more details on the calendar at WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Silver Streaks football continues with the GHS postgame show on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL.
27-6, the final. The Streaks fall tonight in their playoff game. Jim Lee down on the field right now.
Down here on the field now with the Silver Streaks head coach Tim Doherty. And again, as Brad and I were talking, 27-6 setback. Just looking at the game itself and not the season tonight, boy, getting that ball and the interception by Tyson Parks, getting down to the 5-yard line, but just not able to push it in. Could have cut it to a one touchdown game at that point. And from that point on, it just seemed like it was all Pioneers after that.
Well, we were shorthanded offensively. We have been for the last couple of games. And, you know, credit to our kids. They keep battling and fighting. And really in the first half, we had some open guys on play action and didn't hit them. And then obviously that if we'd have punched that in second half, I thought we got outplayed in the second half. But, you know, I have to take a look at the film. But our kids have battled hard all year. And, you know, they're 9-0, now 10-0 for a reason. So,
The kicking game has been so strong for us all year, but even tonight, a couple of punts that weren't up to par, and Tanner missed the field goal. Not that that was the outcome of the game, but just unusual because those kids have done such a good job this year.
Every play in the playoffs count, you know, and that was the difference in the game. When they needed to make plays, they had some turnovers, but when they needed to make a play, they did, and we didn't. So, that to me, that's the difference in the game.
As far as looking back at the big scope of the season, though, I know it's harder after a game to feel good about it, but a 5-4 season, a playoff appearance, and with a team that really lost its marquee player in Jonathan Mixon with some key weeks to go.
Well, we've lost five players in the last 4 or 5 weeks, and it's a credit to the kids that have fought all the way to the last whistle. So that's the guys my focus is on right now, and I'm real proud of them.
Coach, thanks for stopping by afterwards, and congratulations on a playoff run.
You bet. Thanks.
As always, our thanks to Streaks head coach Tim Doherty for joining us for a few words at halftime, as he's done all season, and after the game as well, regardless of a win or a loss. And the losses are always tougher, and any time the coach can give us a few moments after a game like this, we certainly appreciate it. And a fun year for the Silver Streaks, just a shame that it had to end at this point. Still haven't won a playoff game in history, 0-7 overall, but their first playoff game in 10 years. And as Jim and I said before before we ended the actual game broadcast, before we headed to the post game, you know, think big picture. 1-8 last year, and, you know, questionable in terms of some players coming back, some players from last season not coming back from graduation or not going out for the team or whatever, and yet here they were making the playoffs. So still, big picture, you got to feel pretty good. And now look to build on this from there. And don't be satisfied with it. And keep on advancing forward. Get to 6-3, 7-2 next year. And continue to build a successful program, which is what Tim Doherty is committed to doing. 27-6 the final. U-High defeats Galesburg here tonight. Take a break here on the post game. Come back, give you final statistics as the Pioneers advance with a 10-0 record now in Class 5A. Streaks finish the season at 5-5. You're listening to Silver Streaks Football on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Good luck, Silver Streaks, from the all-new Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall. Stop in and check out the new 2013 Nissans, the most innovative and exciting cars available today. Over 150 to choose from at Galesburg Nissan right in front of Sandburg Mall.
Galesburg High School football on WGIL is brought to you in part by office specialists in Galesburg and Kewaunee, where your office is their business. By Knox County Hearing Center on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. And by Chuck Ross with Mel Foster Company, making it happen.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football tomorrow as the Illini take on Indiana. Coverage begins at 10:30.
The Fighting Illini play here, Galesburg Radio 14, WGIL.
take a look at the final statistics here from this U-High 27-6 victory over the Silver Streak. Start off with the Pioneers. Quarterback Arian Werthmann leads all runners tonight, 16 carries for 109 yards and a touchdown. Brian Sengse, 11 carries, 75 yards and a touchdown. Joe Johnson finishes with 12 carries and 56 yards tonight. They're the only three who carried the ball all night long for the Pioneers. Arian Werthmann finishes the night. Oops, guess it would help if I added that up. 3, 4, 5, 6. He finishes 8 of 12 with 3 interceptions and 113 yards, 2 touchdowns tonight. Both of them to Kame Wildermuth of 24 yards and 40 yards, 3 receptions for 78 yards. Joe Johnson had 2 catches for 21 yards, and Malik Wildermuth had 3 catches for 14 yards. For the Galesburg Silver Streaks, Tremont Diggins, 23 carries for 75 yards tonight, the only touchdown of the night for the Silver Streaks. And then nobody else even cracked a double figures out of positive rushing yards tonight. Peyton Isaacson had a couple of big sacks. He had a 15-yard carry in the first half. It was pretty much all negative after that, 7 carries for a yard. Christian Powers, 4 carries for 0 tonight. Ben Holloway, 8 for minus 3. J.J. Range had 1 carry for 2 yards. Isaacson finished the night passing. He missed his first 3 passes of the night. He finishes 5 of 10 for 64 yards, 2 catches for O'Brien Allen, 25, Ben Holloway had a 28-yard catch, Will Anderson a 13-yard reception, Trevon Diggins 1 for minus 2. 11 penalties against the Silver Streaks for 79 yards tonight, 4 penalties against Normal U-High for 47. Time of possession pretty much finished in favor of the Silver Streaks, and that was largely because of 5 Pioneer turnovers tonight, 3 interceptions, and 2 fumbles, but it didn't matter on the scoreboard. 27-6, the final for the Pioneers, who next week will go on to face Washington. The Panthers upset Metamora 19-14 tonight, just a couple of weeks after those two Middle Illini rivals clashed, and the Redbirds ran all over the Panthers 50-0. Tonight, it's Washington which gets the win on the road, shocking Metamora 19-14, and that's who Normal U-High will play next week. Take a final timeout here on the postgame show. Our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game. We'll wrap up our broadcast up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Obstructive sleep apnea is kind of insidious. It creeps up on people over the course of a long period of time.
Stephen Clark, registered sleep technologist, talks about the most commonly diagnosed disorder in the OSF St. Mary Sleep Laboratory.
Loud snoring is usually a hallmark for obstructive sleep apnea. A lot of times there are complaints of daytime sleepiness.
Struggling to get a good night's sleep? Talk to your physician. OSF St. Mary Medical Center. All together better.
Oh, just a little further. Oh. Mrs. Stevens?
Hey, Phil. Got a package for me?
Nope, just a power bill.
Oh, well, what's that?
That's the power bill, ma'am.
No.
Yeah, I think it's time you call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating. Honestly, my back can't take much more of this.
Do everyone a favor and get a high-efficiency furnace from Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating, because you deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill.
I'm News Director Will Stevenson. If you see news happening or want us to report on a story, tell us about it 24/7 by emailing news@wgil.com.
27-6, the final, as Galesburg's playoff run ends with a loss to Normal U-High here at Illinois Wesleyan University. Our final order of business, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Jim Lee. A pretty easy choice tonight when all said and done.
Yeah, certainly nobody on the offensive side of the ball could you get too excited about. The offense just not able to move much at all outside of that one drive late in the ball game. So you go to the defensive side, and there was one guy that just was making tackles right and left, a lot of them solo tackles, and a lot of them done with authority tonight, and that was number 70, Jacob Ryden. He played a heck of a ball game out here, brought a real physical presence to this, and we needed that when we were getting beat up inside between the ends on both sides of the ball pretty well. But Ryden was there to answer the bell. Granted, he did pick up one penalty late on that offside or attempted onside kick that cost us a few yards. But outside of that, I didn't see Ryden make many mistakes tonight, and he was a force. And so pretty easy to pick Jacob Ryden tonight as our offensive player of the game from the defensive line.
And our thanks to Dave's Auto Body for sponsoring the Crunch Time Player of the Game. once again this season. Our thanks to Galesburg Nissan for providing our transportation on the road all season long, and they'll be back with us, and hope you'll be back with us as well once basketball season starts coming up. Silver Streaks girls in action. Third week in November is when they'll get started under Coach Evan Massey in his 137th year as head coach with the Silver Streaks girls basketball team.
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Well, of that, he's been teaching at the high school for, I think, 135 of them. So,
the ancient one returns.
That's
huh?
right.
And I should talk after my birthday this week, I guess.
And, of course, we'll be back on the air. We had the interview with Mike Reynolds at halftime, and Jim and I will be back with the boys' basketball team coming up on Thanksgiving weekend for the Thanksgiving tournament. Jim, be good until then, and appreciate the ride as always here in the football season. It's been fun.
Yep, enjoy a few weeks off. We'll check in with the family for a couple of Friday nights and then be back at it again the night before Thanksgiving to begin a long basketball season.
Thanks to Nicole Olin at the downtown studios, and as always, thanks to you for being with us as well for Silver Streaks football throughout this playoff run, and hope to build upon this and go even deeper next year to get back to the postseason. Under Coach Tim Doherty, 27-6 the final. Normal U-High knocks off the Silver Streaks, who finish the season 5-5. For Nicole Olin, for Jim Lee, I'm Brad Binowitz. Good night from Illinois Wesleyan University.
Thanks for listening to Silver Streaks Football on Galesburg Radio 14 WGIL. This has been a WGIL sports presentation.